welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
Solid Crow.
This is Hot Sauce.
And this is episode... What the fuck episode is this?
104? Is it 105?
No, it's got to be 104.
Okay, 104, fine. I don't know.
Yeah, because yours was the 103. Your solo cast.
No, this is 102.
Yeah, 102, because it doesn't matter.
And then we had one after that.
Yeah, so this is 104.
My God.
And welcome to episode 104 of If Lands Could Kill.
God damn it. I know this, okay, really quick. I mean, this cast, Knife always gets us going with something. You know, he does something, tells some stupid story or something. And this time, like every time, is about his goddamn dick slit and how...
It's impressive, bro.
There's first time I've seen it now. There's pictures of it on the internet.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah, just go to this website, and then it's there. I'm like, oh, my. And then he shows it to us, so.
Well, you guys were requesting it by name, so.
God damn it.
We're well, this has been, like, 2 years of talking about it. Like, you know, that's, I want, like, the mental image not there. At least I have, like, a picture to go to when I think of your dick slit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Not like, man. Like, I don't know. It's just, it is a thing. You didn't tell us about your dick coming out of Paul Walker's mouth, though.
Oh, yeah, that one was... Well, cause
was it, like, right when he died, like, the day of? Too soon?
No, my girlfriend, like, really likes Paul Walker. Well, she did, because... Dead! But, so anyways, I get the Cool Water cologne, and, you know, he was, like, the face of it or whatever. So,
I don't know that, actually, but I
well,
do now.
Well, he was.
I do now.
And so I got more the big old bottle know. Of it. I cut out a hole where his mouth was. And then I stuck my dick through it, and I went up to my girlfriend and says, Paul Walker wants a kiss.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah, good job.
I like
she
it.
Just like closed her eyes and like, Paul Walker's dick.
Paul Walker. Coming out of his mouth awkwardly. I don't know why.
Yeah, whatever, man. As long as you can get it, who cares?
So my little tradition of... I always try to get the guys laughing because we always have fucked up conversations right before we podcast. And then I just jump in with no warning into the podcast. So that's why you always hear us giggling and
half
laughing.
The time, like gasping for air and shit. Yeah. Like that's why it starts that way.
Yeah. Actually, I had a question for you guys before we get into our usual, updates from our past week. I was sitting around the other day thinking about old TV shows and... You know, shit I used to watch when I was younger and everything. And, you know, I thought, like, I want to get your guys' input on what were your, like, comedic influences. Obviously, like, Family Guy. Once Family Guy came out, it was like, oh, my God, this show is amazing. It's everything I wanted and more. But, you know, before that, you know, we had to think shit was funny before that. So, like, just break it down. What are some of your comedic influences from when you were younger?
All right, here's a real bad one.
Or even from now, whatever.
I'll start with something real bad. 2004, I want to say, Dane Cook was like the best thing I ever heard.
His first album?
It was. I mean, first of all, we were young. Yeah, the first album, whatever. I don't even know what it's called. But
that's going to be a lot of part of it, though, because you're that age.
I never heard comedy like his. You know, once again... Even the next album, it was all just poor form and nobody gives a damn. You know, once 2005 came around, it was already old news. But that year, I remember we were, you know, underage, so we weren't like, you know, when we were hanging out at night, we were just like hanging out in people's cars in the street, like whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? We didn't have any house to go to, usually. So we would just be sitting chilling in the car and we'd be listening to the damn album over and over again and just laughing our fucking balls off. Like, he was so funny.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that was a big influence. I don't think so. But, man, that was so funny for the time. It's hard to say now because people, if they didn't listen to that album and all they know is just, like, kind of the stigma, then, yeah, he totally is garbage.
Yeah, but, he's a fucking shithead.
Yeah,
now.
But I can't say enough good things about that first album. I tried to get my girlfriend to listen to the first album because she never heard it.
Yeah.
Like, a year ago, and she's like, I'm not doing it. I'm like, you got to. Like, just please listen to this album and just give it a chance. And she's like, not doing it. I'm like, God damn it. Okay, fine.
I think like a lot of his timing and mannerisms, you know, influenced us over the years just from that first album.
Yeah.
Because like you said, we used to just like smoke pot in our buddy's car, like off to the side down the road and just listen to that album like week after week after week. And then just like think it was still funny as fuck.
It was still funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, like just the other day, there was a house on fire, like engulfed in flames down the street. I just happened to be leaving my house. And I look over to the right and I'm just like, oh my God, babe, that house is like going up in flames. And so we like drove over there. It was like two blocks, like a block away or something.
Fully, man. Fully.
It's a fully. And And like we were there, like the house must have just started going up because we were, there was only like a other couple other people out there. So we were like trying to like help like get people out of houses and stuff. And but anyways, everybody was doing that shit where they're like, so what happened when you saw the fire? Oh, well, I was pulling out and then I saw it and then I looked. And then I looked, and then I was like, it's a fire. And then it's a fire. And then, well, tell him what you told me. Like, it was totally that bit.
Dane Cook has a bit about this.
I could see it, like, happening all around me. I'm like, this is still,
it's
like...
It's the nothing conversation. It's the interview that you see in every city that is just... that person, like you said, all he did was see it. Like, he wasn't a part of it. He's like, what was the joke? It's like, I was inside, I was cleaning a dish, and then
I heard it, and then
heard
it came out.
And then I came out. And then that's like the whole thing, you know, like that's all people have to say.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the house or you started the fucking fire. Like nobody has anything. I was just watching TV and then I just smelled something. I came outside and there it was on fire. It's like every interview for the past fucking 40 years.
And then
that.
Every once in a while, I'll still be like, fuck shoes.
Yeah. It's like, why aren't you wearing any shoes? Like, fuck shoes. It was a fire. Fuck shoes.
It was an accident. It was an accident. Fuck shoes. You go to the next group.
Anyways.
That was definitely.
Another thing that, once again, I can't really pinpoint influence, but there's something that comedy that I used to do and still do that I used to kind of thrive for, which is the what if, and then you just build on the what if.
Right.
The biggest one we had when we were younger was the Yule log thing. Do you remember that? Or you weren't there for that. That was Peppermint Swirl. But
I don't remember.
We had this thing where we're talking about like Yule log, like the videos or whatever.
Right.
And they like, oh man, they have like a, and we started going off about how there's like a whole channel that's just nothing but Yule logs for Christmas. And then it's like, you know, special edition fucking birch and special edition redwood. And like, they have all these different things that we just kept going on and on and on about like different kinds of woods and like different scenarios of what the channel could be like. And so this is like a strange example, but even like now I like to get an idea and just think of this entire scenario, this whole day worth of this one thing, and just go, okay, what if this person was doing this, and then this other guy came in, and it's like you just keep adding on, and you get it to snowball forever until it gets just so outlandish and ridiculous.
Yeah, until
I still love that shit.
Until it's like 7 degrees good. Of Kevin Bacon, where you're like completely somewhere completely different than where you started. You're
that
like,
shit works though, man.
Yeah.
You ever try that game?
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's so different from where you started that like, seriously, how did we get here? We are saying 9/11 jokes, and we're talking about fucking Yule logs like 10 minutes ago.
It gets so funny. So that Cool Games Inc. podcast I was mentioning,
the whole
structure of the podcast, now listening to it, I realize this is the only thing they do, is they get requests or suggestions from the audience through, like, Reddit or whatever about made-up, like, video game suggestions.
Right.
So it'll be... Like, I'm trying to think, I'll come back on an example, whatever, but basically they get an example that's just totally outlandish, could never be made up. Oh, okay, one of them was, have you ever heard of Pokemon Plays Twitch, or Twitch Plays Pokemon? Twitch Plays Pokemon.
I've heard something like that.
So they had a thing where people watching this Twitch stream of Pokemon, their input on the chat, basically, would tell what to do. So, like, literally, direction of the character, what choose what to fight, so, like, the whole world is playing this game. And so they had a scenario where they were talking about how they could have a game in the urinal, and it's like the buttons are like in the urinal, and so you would go in there and you would like piss on what thing you wanted to do, and the TV would be in front of you, and people would just be like lined up at a bar pissing and just playing a campaign through, but every person only can do the action for like 30 seconds, and that's like it. And so like it's just the whole thing is that the idea, they just said like, what if there's a game that you piss on the buttons, and then they just got this whole thing about how, like, what location it would be at. They would sell so much beer and all this stuff, and like, and they'd stream it like to Twitch, and like, this would be this whole thing. So, you know, this example, when you listen to their minds do it, and they run with it for like 10 minutes, they're fucking geniuses at it. And that's all they do, is maybe make like 6 different what if games, and they just try to create them the best they can. And it's so fucking ridiculous. So.
Jumping into that podcast without really like listening to them before, knowing too much about them, because you mentioned them to me and you're like, you gotta listen to it. I listened to it and it felt like I had to hit the ground running when I started listening to it, because it's like, before you know it, they're already talking about like God knows what, and you're like, I'm so
they're fast talkers.
I don't understand like the setup for the podcast.
You gotta be really into the video game like meta. You gotta really know a lot of the the unique stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not even saying that I do, but at least I look at like a lot of video game news like on the daily.
I mean, just
at
like
least I heard of stuff because they fucking ramble about mechanics of games that are like just, you know, greenlit Steam games that are not, you know, totally alpha stage. And I'm like, oh my God, this is...
I mean, I didn't even know, like, the structure of the podcast. Like, I didn't really know, like, what they were talking about, like, right off the bat. Yeah. Like, that's why I always like to mention with us, like, we bullshit for, like, an hour before we get to the magic stuff. We talk about our week and we think about weird questions like comedic influences and, you know, so...
Yeah, so anyways, that's... those are my two I'll just say right now. I mean, I guess current I could just say is that Louis C.K. is the man. You know what I mean? And I just like that witty, turning something like real life, you know, into humor. Like some real serious human life, you know, that happens every day and bad stuff. And then you just flip it around and make it funny. And that's like great because everyone's going to go see like all the bad shit. People die and all this crazy shit. And if you get some comedy out of it, like, yeah, it's kind of sick and twisted, but it's awesome. You can, you know, you make comedy out of something like that. It's great. So.
I specifically remember in junior high, I used to hang out with my friend John, and he had an older brother who was like 2 or 3 years older. So we was like looked up to him for whatever he was doing. He listened to punk, he was skateboarding, and I remember I was over at his house, and he had like made some sort of gay joke, basically. And then I, not knowing any better, was like, what? No. And like, you know, got all...
Oh, gay joke to you?
Yeah, yeah. And then it got all weird about it or whatever. And then like my friend John had to explain like, no, like that's like funny. He's like, you know, obviously like...
He doesn't mean it.
Just gay jokes for the sake of gay jokes aren't funny. But, you know, it's like when you're a kid and you're learning like playground rules type of shit. But I mean, what I got out of that was like, don't get upset over somebody dissing you. Just like play off of that and then go with it and then make it funnier.
Yeah.
Basically what I got out
of that. That's like a way to get out of, you know, bullying even. You know what I mean? Like you just use that as your own ammunition. When they start saying some stupid shit, you're just like, bounce it right back. If you can. I mean, yeah.
if you're able to laugh at yourself and push off past that shit and not let it roll off you. They stop picking on you. There is no like picking on you because you just start throwing it back in their face.
Self-deprecation is like
if you can talk shit about yourself while throwing shit back at them, next thing you know, they're the ones on the back foot, like, not being able to take it. So like,
how many tiny dick jokes have I made about myself in the past 10 years? Like it's like on the daily. It's just like a great time to talk about. It's just so funny, dude. Yeah. Who cares?
It's so true too,
and it's so true. Who cares? Fuck it.
But I mean, also, it's like, you know. What are you doing over there sucking cock? And then you're like, oh, who's next? You know, like, you know, if you just roll with it, you don't get upset about it.
Going skiing.
So,
okay. So really something stupid. So I went to this concert, I'll get to whatever, but one of the lead singers for this band, whatever, was like such a scabby motherfucker. He's just the most disgusting person ever. And he was singing a song and then he spits totally vertical and he catches it in his hand, his own spit. And he starts looking at it. Like, it's like a, I don't even know. He just starts, like, examining it. And then he goes and he snorts it. He snorts his snot up his fucking nose. And I look to the guy I went to the concert with, and I'm like, I want to fuck him so bad right now. And it's just that, you know, stupid, you just turn something like that into, like, something bizarre. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to fuck that guy later tonight.
And so...
So gross, man. Yeah. Scabby fucking punk motherfuckers. Like, oh, my God.
And so to go along with the whole, like, being okay with joking around about being gay is I watched a show called Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
And it was a Canadian sketch comedy show in the 90s, like, produced by Lorne Michaels or whatever. But it was basically just a improv comedy little troupe or whatever. And it was, like, what, six guys?
Something like six. They're all gay, too, right?
Well, one of them was gay.
Two only one? Gay, I think it was a couple of ways, yeah.
Well, but the thing was, it's that they were playing all their main parts, so they would dress up as the chicks.
Yeah.
You know, so they would take turns dressing up as the chicks since they're like the main actors of whatever skit there is. So there's always a lot of like innuendos and, you know, one of them, maybe two, but one of them was like openly gay at that time, so he was always like doing the flaming jokes and like all that stuff over the top. But, like, looking back, like, I realized, like, man, that show had, like, a lot of influence on my little, like, sponge-like brain, you know? And also with, like, The Simpsons. Simpsons was, like, it was Family Guy before Family Guy, you know? Like, it was the show that, like, went a little bit over the edge. Obviously, it's so much more PG than Family Guy. but they were the cutting edge at that time. And if I were to say at all, like, what my favorite everyone talks about what their favorite animated show is, and it's like the holy trinity of like Simpsons, Family Guy, South Park. I still say Simpsons. It like laid the foundation for everyone else after him, and I just always remember like watching as much as I could.
Like we all watch Simpsons like a shit ton of course. Kids, right? Like,
yeah, I mean,
I occasionally catch a new episode, just like maybe online. You know, yeah, a couple
not,
of years.
It's not really a thing anymore.
It's still fun. I actually still enjoy it.
It is, but you don't like spend the time. Like, it is still funny.
It's surprising.
You gotta respect
me, though,
the roots of things and where the shit came from and where this whole genre of TV came from.
Yeah.
And The Simpsons is always obviously fantastic. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been on the air for plus 20 plus years. Like,
yeah.
It obviously needs respect. There's a lot of comedy there and a lot of ground laying foundation. But I agree. From there, like, at this point, for me, it's kind of like beyond past its prime, where I'm not going to not watch it, but I don't put any effort into trying to watch new episodes.
Now it's like Rick and Morty and like Archer, shit like that. You know, that's where I feel the comedy hotspots are right now.
The FX channel plays Simpsons like all the time. They'll play like a 5 hour
And that's where I'll catch
chunk.
Sometimes every now and then.
Oh, yeah, and like if it's anywhere before season 18, like I'll sit there and watch
it. So they've done it twice now where they played every episode of The Simpsons. They did it like, they do it, I think, every year now,
I think. They do it every Christmas.
Every Christmas,
I think
then?
So.
And they just have straight up like 4 days of just
every
nothing
single
but Simpsons
episode.
From one to whatever's new. Oh my God, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
crazy filler.
Pretty sweet.
So what else you got? What do you got, Crow?
For me, I mean, like, comedic influences for me. I got it.
Margaret Cho.
No.
She was funny back in the day.
Yeah.
Kind of starts at home from the baseline being, my dad isn't a very funny guy. But he's the type of guy who a part of me has a lot of love for dry humor, and that stems from him. And he's very into dry humor type of things, and like things that get you in trouble with your wife when you're not trying to be a dick, but the dry humor of it all is fucking hilarious, but they get offended or whatever it may have you. And so like for him, he throws jokes at the fucking wall, and 90% of the time they're fucking horrible, like not funny at all. But when he nails one, it's fucking really good. It gets everybody going. He even, and so from that point, like, he's also a fan of the say it until it fucking gets not funny anymore and say continue to say it till it gets funny again. And so like there's times where I've definitely found myself doing that kind of same thing along that line, where find that funny ass joke and then you pound it into the ground and they start like fucking to get over it, but then they hit that stage and it comes back again. It's fucking great. So like that's where my baseline is from there. And then from a young age, like before you really start getting into like, you know, you're like, my dad and I had like a deal growing up. He was real cool, where I could cuss with him and around him, but I knew the rules and how to be respectful around other people and wasn't not cussing at the school ground and doing all fucked up shit.
Yeah.
So like it was, you know, I knew how to control myself. I was going to do it with my son as well. And so I at an early age discovered Dennis Leary. And still to this day, he is my favorite all-time comedian. I love Dennis Leary. I think he's fucking hilarious. My favorite TV show of all time is Rescue Me. That show, I think, it's just great. It's nonstop comedy, dudes fucking with each other, having a good old time, while at the same time, like, loving each other and doing anything for each other, but talking nonstop shit.
Yeah, I see you use the If Lance Could Kill account to tell somebody to recommend it, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine, but that's representing the whole cast. And now you're crossing the line, bro. No, I didn't care, but I knew
you were gonna bitch me for that.
Okay,
because look, my phone gets a little notification for both that account and my account.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if I just open it and didn't think about it, it'll go to my Lance Kill.
Okay, this is the best thing though, is that I got a notification like a pop up from Brian David Marshall, the like announcer dude Magic, and I'm like, what? He sent us a message or like, you know, a tweet. I'm like, what the fuck? And I saw the conversation, and I'm like, What is this?
Hey, watch out for us then.
Oh, yeah, who cares? I was just
we'll get
like,
more listeners out of it.
It was funny, though. It was funny.
And then from there, along the same lines of, you know, so I just, like, have you guys ever seen the movie The Ref?
No.
It's Dennis Leary, Kevin Spacey, some chick, I forget her name, but she's, like, a famous actress, too. And the whole thing is, Kevin Spacey's married to this lady, and it's Christmas time. Dennis Leary is a fucking robber. He gets, like, caught up in some house where he gets dog piss sprayed on his face, and the dog bites him, and he has to, like, hide in a small town. And he ends up abducting Kevin Spacey and his wife. And this whole time, like, they're, like, fighting with each other, but Dennis Leary's having to deal with their crazy shit. And, like, that's just a movie I caught from the beginning of times to a point where, to me, that's one of the, every year Christmas happens, I watch The Ref. That's the first Christmas movie I watch.
Like Santa Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus is another, it's Tim Allen in that movie. That movie's fucking
Oh
good.
My God, I was joking.
I don't care. I don't care. That movie is great.
No, the Turbo Man movie. That's that's the one.
You watch that one too?
Turbo Man.
You don't like Santa Claus, man? Really?
Oh my God.
I don't care. I like Tim Allen too. I think he's pretty funny.
I watched Home Improvement.
Plus, dude,
when I was a kid.
The guy got arrested for having 3 pounds of cocaine in his car. I'm impressed.
That.
That's when his career went, you know, downhill, quote unquote.
So, other influences for me. First of all, Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, right? Yeah. He's amazing. Perfect man. Second of all, Reich.
Yeah?
No. Although he does have some humzingers, you know, every once in a while, but no.
Well, for me, the other influence, though, for the dry humor side of things is Mitch Hedberg. I absolutely loved Mitch Hedberg.
Man.
Like,
that
you know,
guy.
Talking about an escalator breaking down, thank you for the convenience.
Yeah.
Like, that shit.
Sorry for the convenience.
Yeah.
Sign. Escalators now become stairs.
He just had so many good ones. And talking about fucking filing his donut under for his tax return and shit. File under D for donut.
I don't think we need to bring in PayPal into this transaction.
Yeah. I loved Mitch Hedberg. So Mitch Hedberg and Desler are my two favorite comedians of all time.
I found a DVD like on the street that wasn't scratched up of Mitch Hedberg, and I was like, yes! It's like, I had to like watch that over and over again when I was a kid. Not a kid, but you know, teenager.
I know throughout the years, more than anybody else, I think me and Hot Sauce had been a fan of the like Comedy Central half-hour stand-up specials. I mean, I don't really keep up with them too much anymore, but like whenever I would mention a name or mention or try and like quote something, Hot Sauce would get it, and it was just from like the little from the first like Dane Cook, you know, special to the Dave Attell special, and
yeah,
like all those little ones.
The half hour ones were great. The people that you never heard of and shit like that, and then you find out that they became something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
So like,
I like Dave Attell's Insomnia show.
That was pretty good.
Insomnia.
I like that. That was a good one.
I have all the seasons.
Nice. So nice. What about? Have you seen? You have. I know you have. Tom Segura.
Yeah,
Tom Segura is the perfect comedian for me. 2016, 2017 Hot Sauce. Like what I'm into right now, the bubble is, Tom Segura is amazing. I'm sure I will not find him as funny years to come. I'm sure I wouldn't have found him as funny if he was around doing that same comedy bit when I was a teenager. But right now, perfect. Perfect man.
Yeah, I started.
Perfect man.
Perfect man.
I started listening to like a lot of comedy on Pandora, and one of his albums would come up all the time. And what I always thought was funny about Tom Segura is like during that first album, his like timing was a lot more slow, 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 fast, like quiet, 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 yell. And there was just more emphasis on things. And then like you listen to a stand-up or watch a stand-up now, and it's just everything's a lot more like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, just speed it up a little bit, you know? Like, give it some punches here and there. But yeah, definitely he is hilarious. I mean, like, all-time favorite comedians.
You're Carlin, right?
That's, yeah, Carlin is the all-time favorite.
Yeah. He's up there for sure. He's got a lot of respect there.
I mean, you know, a lot of people can say what they say about Carlin, about how a lot of it's just ranting or whatever, and it's like,
I don't give a shit.
Still,
that's
that
amazing.
Is
yeah.
It's great ranting. And it's same with like, what's that? Lewis Black.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think he's over
the angry
yes.
rant. I love the angry rant.
It was good.
I love going on
I
angry
feel like
rants.
That was like the whole, he would be on The Daily Show
yeah.
and stuff like that. And it was perfect for that because The Daily Show is a big rant fest about like what's so fucked up with the world. And so that's perfect, you know?
Yeah. Dave Attell was always good, you know, just it's like he would be halfway through a setup and then just throw in a punchline and then like you think there's more to, and then he just like changes subjects and you're like, really? You were just that was all you did that
yes,
for? Really?
Yes.
Okay, for a poop joke.
Stupid,
okay.
Yeah.
You guys ever heard of Doug Stanhope?
Yes.
Yeah, Doug Stanhope is.
I saw him live down at, in like PB area, and it was when he had just started like touring for his latest, like one of his latest HBO specials. And so when we saw him, a buddy of mine, John, took me to it, and it was just, he was still testing out like that skit, that line, and like going with what jokes were going to work for his actual 30-minute or hour stand-up, whatever it was. And so he had like, and then seeing that stand-up later on, going, I saw this fucking show. It was great. But he had, like, 10 other joke lines along with it, and it was just so vulgar and hilarious and
yeah,
awesome. And
nice.
Talking about Japanese whores floating across the sea that were dead, then reusing them. And just, it went all kinds of rants of amazingness. It was good. It was really good.
Yeah, but, like, late at night.
He talks about having to help kill his, help his mother commit suicide.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, like, this is fucking horrible and fucking hilarious all at once. Because, you know, all the things that she made him do with it, too, and like, it was really good.
It was, like, just funny enough to where he wasn't, like, just some weirdo yelling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it was a little less funny, you'd be like, dude, get
this
guy off the street corner.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
This is the end of days. But, like, David Cross was also a big influence.
Okay, David Cross has that. He has a show on Netflix along with the guy, Better Call Saul, that guy.
Okay.
And it's just the both of them. They do a sketch comedy show. It's only like 5 episodes. Fucking obscure. Like, it's hit or miss for sure.
Yeah.
It will not get a second season, but it was, you know, it was worth my time. Super silly. The intro is, like, bizarre trip out, like, 30 seconds of... I watch it over and over again, the intro, because it's so fucking bizarre.
which one is David Cross again? Is that the one from Arrested Development?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
You ever watch that show, the Strange Life of Todd Margaret?
No.
Or the it's pretty funny. Like every episode, things get worse and worse and worse for him. And it just keeps continuing to snowball, and it's, holy fuck, this guy's life sucks. But it's funny.
And then, like, you know, to go back to some of the classics that always influenced me was, like, Chris Rock. I mean, Bigger, Blacker, and Uncut. Like, that... I don't care, like, if you or what color or what, like, background you were. Like, that shit was fucking funny. And, like, Dave Chappelle, his first couple ones, he's gotten weird lately, bro. I saw him, like, do a little bit for, like, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
like,
I saw the intro
opening
for that.
Thing.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
There was one part where I, like, chuckled, and then the rest was like, dude, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah,
I feel like there's
a little bit of that.
I feel like there's more to it for his, like... exit out of the spotlight than what's like been talked about or shown. Like, I feel
like
there's something
like,
fucked up going on there, because it's just, I don't know, he had it all, then suddenly he just decided to leave it all and like doesn't make any appearances at all ever except for random things like that, and it doesn't come off well.
Yeah, he just, I don't know, he lost his edge or something.
Yeah, something. That's okay though, whatever. He gave us years and years of comedy, so
yeah,
whatever.
So any other things bounce off you? I mean, like Family Guy, South Park, like you said, Rick and Morty. That shit's just gold. You know, some of the Tim and Eric. I mean, like, very light sprinkles.
But no, it is.
Eric.
No, but they got some really
it's
funny stuff.
Yeah.
They got some really funny stuff in there. It's hard. Like, it's hard to watch for sure. But, you know, when you get to the good skits, you get to the good skits. That's just it. That movie was ridiculous. I had to watch that, too. That $1 million movie or whatever it was.
Oh, God.
Woo, baby. That was
like
hard.
The Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie.
Oh, I watched that, too. Yeah. Man.
Like, there's not enough pot in the world, my friend.
Remember the ambiguously gay duo from Saturday Night Live?
That was, dude, I loved, I still do, like, the Lonely Island, all that kind of stuff. Whenever they have, SNL moves away from, like, the live stuff, and they have the pre-recorded music
digital
shorts, all that kind of stuff, almost all of those I will laugh at. Like, I think those are fantastic. They're also, you know, they're more buttoned up, you know, they have, like, obviously, edits and shit like that to make it cleaner, and, I just love those ones. They're so funny. Lonely Island was so great for like a year. I love that shit.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live had a bunch, and like
Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
You know
love
what? They still play
show.
That every once in a while on Adult Swim. I watched it the other night, and I was like, I used to watch this when I was a kid. I didn't get it then. I don't get it now.
Yeah, yeah. That was good. I loved that. I watched the shit out of
still
Space
watched
Ghost
it,
Coast to Coast.
Still watched the whole thing.
Jason Jan, bro.
Yeah.
I was like,
I don't even know who that is.
That's, you don't remember? That's the Sidekicks.
No.
Jason Jan.
No.
Yeah. Anyways, you know, there's like the enemy, the little fucking mantis dude, and like whatever other guy there is.
Like Thwack or.
Thwark. Yeah, something like that. So they have that, and then
Spork.
he has
Brock.
His two. Brock. Like his like Batman and Robin. This is basically like Robin is Jace. And I was like, when I was a kid, I was like, whoa, like that's the first time I've heard my name. And then, yeah, Jan was the other chick, whatever. Just in their stupid little stupid outfits with their goddamn capes and all that crap. Same thing as Robin, basically.
Yeah.
Ripped off. So, anyways.
Yeah, I thought
moving
that,
on,
I thought that would be interesting, you know, just to touch base with some of the things you guys thought was funny.
Yeah, the loud and abruptness of Dennis Leary is my favorite.
And mine is Lucy K. There we go.
Yeah, there we go. So why don't you take it away there, Hot Sauce. How has your week or like week and a half been?
All right, here's the list. So first thing... I showed a game to Krokowski over here. Said, you got to check out this trailer for this game.
A little intense.
A little intense. It's called Agony. It's coming out sometime, like I said, second quarter 2017. And this game is, it's in hell. And you can imagine, like, kind of like, you know, I guess you can think of like Doom, like the new Doom or something like that. Their interpretation of hell, but it's like, super Resident Evil, creepy, Silent Hill, like,
dude.
Everything is, like, slow, you know, the enemies are, like, really disgusting looking,
super
and a lot of
dark,
nudity.
Like you're literally having a torture, throwing the torch
it's like,
ahead
it's like
of you
a
to see
torture
if there's
fest.
Like demons ahead of you. And...
What was that game we played that was super fucked up lately? Remember on the Xbox? You know, where, like, you, when you go in, there's that big guy with the chainsaw?
I don't know what you're talking about. What game is that?
Talking about the one where, like, the second player couldn't do shit. Like, how he, like, hid in the room and, like...
Yeah, like, anyways.
Oh, Evil Within.
Yes.
Yeah, so, like, it's way darker than that. It's way more fucked up. I've never seen a game like it. So if you're, like, you're interested in just checking this out, if you're into horror stuff, this is, like, really dark, really fucked up, a lot of nudity, a lot of bones, and, like, the walls are made of, like, molars, like, teeth and shit like that. And so, like, you are... I believe you're, like, a basically like a demon soul, and you possess bodies in hell, and then you, when you die, your, like, spirit comes out, and then you go ahead and possess another, you know, frail, naked human in the world, and then you have to, like, go ahead and continue from that point or whatever, and it seems, like, real, like, you know, a lot of, like, screaming, crying, blood, fucking bones, and it's a nightmare of a game, and I can only imagine, like, dark room, headphones on, you know, volume turned up. You'd be scared. Yeah, like, honestly,
you can't describe, like, how, like, unsettling it is to even watch the video itself. But I was talking about it. Like, go check it out. See how long you can last watching the gameplay reveal.
What's
of
the
it.
Game called?
Agony.
Agony.
I said second quarter 2017. Okay. Which
I started mentioning him. Like, I can't imagine July. Like. How many therapists they had to have, like, on staff for people who are making the game?
Yeah, it's pretty, pretty fucked up.
Like, I mean, I don't how long did it take to develop a game like that? Like, 2 years, something like that, more.
I don't know.
And
man.
They spent to work on that for that long. I think that's it's fucked up watching this fucking game.
Nice.
So I also got Halo Wars 2. My buddy of mine, we like trade games all the time. So I bought, you know, Titanfall 2 a while back. So I gave him Titanfall 2, and he's like, "Here, take this." And he's like, "Halo Wars 2." I'm like, "You're not going to play this? Like, did you beat the campaign yet?" He's like, "No, I don't have time." He's like, "Don't worry about it." I'm like, "Sweet, brand new game in my fucking pocket. Awesome." Sweet. So I haven't played that yet, but I'm going to get onto that. I'm super excited to play that.
It's good. It runs a lot smoother than the first one. There's a lot, you know, a lot more improvements to it.
I'm super excited. I will be playing it this week for sure. Besides that, I finished the Battlefield campaign. I can just say it was like an 8 out of 10 at the highest. Because, like, the graphics are really good. The stories, some of them are pretty good. But overall, it was still just a little bit lackluster to me. People were, like, ranting and raving about it. I don't see the ranting and rave. I don't think there's enough there. Not enough meat in the campaigns. There's, like, 5 different campaigns. Like, we talked about it the other cast.
People
but,
more rant and rave about it for the multiplayer.
Yeah, probably that. Because that's probably amazing. But anyway, so there's that. I wanted to mention, talk about the Nintendo Switch. The fucking Switch just came out. Is anyone getting that shit?
I want to, but yeah.
Like new Zelda game. That's what I really want to talk about. Have you seen, like, trailers and, like, gameplay of this new Zelda game?
It looks great.
It looks so good. It looks amazing to me.
I want to get it just for that because I've heard just, like, so many awesome things
about
it.
Like, when you see, like, the Metacritic and you see, like, the reviews from the magazines, which you can't really ignore reviews, you know, in this day. So it's all 10 out of 10. Like, the whole thing is just, like, Grand Theft Auto level. Amazing, you know.
Right,
what I mean?
Right.
It's just everyone thinks that this game has, like, hardly any faults. You know, it seems really, really good.
Like, apparently, there's a little picture going around of, I guess, you know, the player had Link standing on the edge of a bridge, and then, like, just a random NPC was walking by and then tried to talk him out of jumping off the bridge. Like, you have more to live for. He's like, "I wasn't gonna jump. I was just, like, you know, like." Eating a sandwich or fucking something, you know?
I'm just taking a breather, you know? A lot of combat, I don't know.
Yeah, so it's cool that there's that level of intricacy, that, like you said, that Grand Theft Auto level of detail to it.
So it seems like the weapon, your inventory is, like, where the weapons degrade quickly. So, like, if you have a sword that you pick up, it only lasts, you know, like, 10 hits and then it's done. And so there's, like, you know, weapons scattered everywhere.
So there's,
everywhere.
Like, durability?
Durability, yeah. Okay. So, like, every hit takes away a chunk of it. And there's
a million things. That adds a touch of shit.
And it seems like there's not just, you know, like, a sword and a fucking bow and arrow. It seems like there are hundreds of items to use.
I didn't know that.
And if you, certain enemies or whatever will pick up the weapons as well and fight you with those weapons. So if you, like, drop something or if you didn't pick it up in time, they'll run after it, like, where you're running after it, and they'll pick it up and they'll fight you with that sword or that bomb. You throw a bomb at them, they'll throw it back at you. Like, it seems really... really good NPCs, like, or, you know, AI, I should say.
I heard there's a lot of easy ways to, like, accidentally die. Like, I've just saw this video of, like, just doors opening and then just, like, smacking the shit out of Link and, like, you know, he goes flying and then he dies or knocks him off a fucking ledge and just, like, a drawbridge coming down and just, like, crushing him, you know? Just, like, all this
fucking
funny stuff.
Seems great. So,
the good thing for me, though, that is I have the Wii U, so I can, the game
you can play it. Yeah, you're
Wii
good, so don't even buy the Switch yet. But the Switch seems fun. I'm not going to get it, but I would love to, yeah, like borrow a Wii U from somebody or something like that and play Zelda and then not play it anymore, not play the system anymore. But God, that game seems really good. So besides that, I went to that concert I was talking about last night. It was like a Metal Blade Records. Metal Blade Records is like Asley Dying. They used to have them and a bunch of other metal bands. I went to go see Allegiant is the main band I went to see. But it was like the most death metal-y metal show I've ever been to. It was Cattle Decapitation was one of the bands, which that name, like, Jesus Christ. And you look at the art, and all the art's the same. Like, the logos are all, like, the...
It's all spidery.
Spidery, blood splatter.
I saw a meme recently, and it was, like, literally off, like, some Scottish farm, a bunch of, like, the sticks they had gathered, and, like, had been leaning against, like, some other bush. And it said, oh, that new death metal band's coming out. Find the name.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Is it all? I kind of hate that. I'm a huge, like, metal, you know, supporter, listener, and I see those logos. I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, stop having just splattered blood be your fucking logo. Even like Black Dahlia Murder is even like that. I'm like, why does it all everything have to be this way?
Okay, so this isn't necessarily that, but metal bands have an annoying habit of having names their logos and you can't read them, whether it's spidery or not. Anyways, I'm a fan of At the Gates, which is a metal band, and I ordered I ordered a patch, and it didn't look this fucked up in the picture, but it was kind of small. And I got it, and I'm like,
I'm not putting out anything.
I
could be staring at that for like literally 30 minutes and not know what the fuck that says. I got an A, I got an S, and I got an E somewhere, and then the rest of it I can't read.
Right above like where a tramp stamp would be.
You know,
that's
like
a sick tramp stamp.
It looks like an SR-71 plane. You know the way that it's shaped, or like maybe like a rocket or something like that. Yeah, like that's what it looks like. But it's letters. It's a plane of letters. Letter of plane. I don't know.
It looks like two, three can fucking Catholic candles or something. It looks like prayer candles.
It looks like amps. That's what it reads to me. Yeah, that's fucking a disaster.
So I'm just like, fuck you guys.
I saw them. I saw Cattle Decapitation. I saw Goat Whore. Another fucking great name, right?
Of course.
God. And then I saw Whitechapel, which doesn't have a crazy name, but they are absolutely ridiculous. And the music, I can't even get into it. It's just like, there is no beat. When I start banging my head to some parts of the song, then it like changes up to some other part of the song, and I don't know where it's going and what to do with my fucking body. And I just sit in there like, this is so weird. I'm not used to this. I usually am used to like a beat and something you can follow and structure.
You're a fan of like the big blast beats and like stuff that has consistent timing. Not to say there's anything wrong with that,
I'm huge with consistent timing. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I'm the fan of like, give me the weirdest fucking off kilter timing and fucking time signatures.
I love the time so too. I absolutely love the bands that had that super unique sound where the first time you listen to it, you think it sounds like shit. And then you get another chime through and you realize what they're saying and the words and how the song's going. And all of a sudden, like, you listen to it at the same time. It's like, okay, now I get this band.
I saw Protest the Hero like a month ago with August Burns Red. And that's on the edge. Like, I liked it and I do like that band, but that is on the edge of progressive for me.
Right.
Anything past that, I'm like, God damn it, this fucking music, you know? And I love music like Tool, which has weird time signatures, but it's not the same category, of course. It's just that with the fact that it does have super unique time signatures, Tool is outstanding at that, but it's not
frenetic.
Like that. Yeah, it's not.
As those other, like, I wrestled a bear once, or Dillinger Escape Plan, or Tony Danza Tap Dance Extravaganza.
Yeah, that one.
Go ahead.
I know.
And look that up.
Yes, exactly. So, okay, so besides the concert and, like, that guy spitting and snorting his own spit, like, that was so fucking ridiculous. There was the dad of the Allegiant singer, and the Allegiant singer is from San Diego. That's how I know who they are. And the dad was holding up posters that to, like, you know, like, as a fan in the crowd or whatever, and one of them said, I'm so disappointed in you.
And then, this is my kind of dad.
And then the other poster said, I think your music is total shit or something like that. And it was just so, because like the dad was super supportive. He was normal. Yeah. Like he was a dad. He was like literally in his 50s, like shirt tucked in dad. And he was holding these posters up and everyone was getting such a fucking rise. It was so great.
So stupid. That's like my dad, like playing baseball. I'd be up to the plate to hit. And as the pitcher's winding up to pitch, he yell out, "You suck! You can't hit shit!"
Yeah, so funny.
I'm like holding mid lap to try to swing at the ball that's coming in.
Yeah, what an asshole. So, anyways, last thing I could say is that if you're on like Twitter, which you should be, because that's where we're at, and we can talk to us all the time, is I built a boombox, and
it's pretty sweet.
Thank you. It's so I had these speakers from Peppermint Swirl. They're six and a half inch Polk Audio like marine speakers with tweeters that came in like the same kit, you know. And he's like, hey, you want these things? I'm not going to use them. I'm like, I'll take them. I mean, maybe if I have a car that has a bad stereo, I'll just like throw them in there or something. But
I haven't been in your garage for a while now.
Yeah, they've been in there for years. So I just been okay, fine. And then I was just on YouTube and I was looking up, okay, well, what can I do with these speakers? I'm like, maybe I can make like a Bluetooth speaker or something. So I looked it up and sure as shit, there's like 30 tutorials and like ways to do it. So I watched like four or five of those to see if like different ideas and see what people were doing. So one of our listeners, Mr. Juicy Brucey, he was asking like, hey, can you give me like a short, simple rundown of like what you did to make it? And so I'll just run through it real quick. I have these speakers, right? I got some plywood and I cut out like a box. You know what I mean? It's like let's call it like a 30 inch by 9 by 9, you know, box. And
rectangle,
you know? And so I got that, cut it all out or whatever, table saw. Like all you need is like a table saw and you need like a jigsaw to cut out the circular shape for the six and a half inch speakers.
Is that the same size hole saw as your fucking cornhole holes?
No, it's not. Oh, but it is. It's really close.
You got to use out of your big fucking
super close. Yeah, I know.
Saw blade,
the 6-inch hole saw. Yeah, no, yeah. It's not. It's not that. It's a little smaller than that. I think like 5.5 or something.
I was
like
so excited for you for a second.
Yeah.
So what was it? $50 for the whole saw?
Yeah, it was like $50 for one hole saw.
You always got to use it twice.
That I used twice. It was ridiculous. So I have a jig and I cut that out, and then I got a 2-inch hole saw to cut out for the tweeters in the face of it. Anyways, put the box together, put the speakers in. I got this amp, and the amp is just something you can get off Amazon. If you type in Bluetooth amplifier into Amazon, they'll spit out this little computer board, little 4-inch by 3-inch board, and it is like 2-channel, 50 watt, and it's like $13. I didn't buy that one, I'll get to that, but like $13, it'll give you the Bluetooth 4.0 connection and power the speakers all in one for $13. Like, super fucking cheap. Totally from China. No way you can do that here. Like, the board's kind of complex, so I was like, wow, that's insanely cheap. I bought a 100 watt times two, so 200 watt receiver for it, amplifier for it. And that one was like $50, but I just kind of, the speakers were rated at 100 watts, and I'm like, well, I want to just like push some fucking watts to this bitch and see how loud it can get. That's a bad choice. It's way too fucking loud. Like, there's these little dip switches on there, little tiny switches on the board that you turn as like the volume control. So if you turn them in one direction, it's weak, and then there's directions low, then mid, and then and like high, loud. And I have to leave it on weak. I can't like turn it up any higher. Otherwise, like
it gets distorted.
The volume on my phone. No, it doesn't get distorted. And well, I guess it does when you turn it up really loud. But the volume on my phone has to be at like 20% to be like able to listen to it. Because your phone or your Bluetooth tablet or whatever is what controls it. Does all the interface for it. Right now, it's just like, kind of like a monitor doesn't do anything. You need a computer or something like an Xbox to make the monitor useful. This is how the boombox is. It has nothing else going for it. So the Bluetooth's the only input besides RCA connections. So anyways, you have that board for $13. I bought a battery that's like a backup security camera battery. It's just like a lead acid sealed battery that it's like for a car basically, but it's a lot smaller. 12 volts. Put that in the box, and then I just kind of wired everything up. I have a switch on the back, and then I have just a regular like power input, you know, like the female plug you'd see on any device ever. And what I have going to that is I have an old battery tender for a 12 volt battery for my Harley is what it's for, and I never use it because the battery, I'd ride it enough where the battery's never died. So I've had this thing sitting in the packaging for 5 years now probably. And so this thing, I'm like, okay, in theory, this is a 12 volt battery that's kind of like a car battery. This is a car battery, you know, tender, which means that it'll just like trickle charge it, slowly charge it. And I'm like, I'm just going to give it a shot. We'll see what happens. And it worked right away. So basically, I can just plug this thing in. The charger has to be smart, because if you just get any kind of like laptop charger or any kind of plug that you can just like retrofit to make it work, it'll just keep throwing power at the battery forever and never stop, and then the battery will fucking short out, blow up, do whatever the hell it does. This thing is smart. It recognizes amperage, voltage, and like does it all right. So the whole thing, the build is that it's the Bluetooth amp, $13, battery was $20. I have wire at my house, so I had all the like the 18 gauge wiring for it. Speakers I had for free, but you could probably get speakers for, I don't know, $30 or something like that. And then I stained the outside of the box in like a mahogany colored, I don't even know what it is. And then I bought a guitar amp handle for it and put the fucking, it's a Fender guitar amp handle that I bought off Amazon for $7. And I threw that on top of it and put some little rubber feet on the bottom And that's pretty much it. The last thing that I have coming in tomorrow is a USB like little hub. And what it is, it's a little cylinder or whatever, maybe like 2 inches long by like an inch or something like that, circumference, or diameter. And you hook up 12 volts to the back of it, and then it gives you two USB ports to charge a phone with. So a USB is five volts, and our source here is 12 volts. This thing does all that stuff in the little box. I don't have to do any like tricky shit or nothing. I just plug it in. And then so now this battery is able to charge up cell phones or tablets or whatever while it's playing music. And the battery is supposed to be good for about 20 hours of playing music. And I would figure it would probably get like 10 hours while charging a cell phone, like to full capacity. So pretty badass. I'm excited, though, so that's all I can say about that. That's why I want to talk about it, because I've been in the garage constantly fucking with shit and having, like, the best time ever. Just, like, sanding and doing wiring, and I'm watching Red vs. Blue in the garage just from, like, the last seasons I haven't seen, whatever. On in the background, it was a great time. Had some, you know, drink, the vape, whatever. Just a good garage man time, you know? It's fantastic.
That came out nice, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm stoked on it. I'm like proud of it. I think it's cool. So yeah, if you want to see pictures of it, go to Twitter, look me up, TEH Hot Sauce, Tay Hot Sauce, and it's there.
You've also not been volunteered to make our next cube box.
Yeah, I mean, I could build stuff, whatever. I don't know. I didn't think you were doing that. I didn't really volunteer myself for it either, but
I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to give you shit for this one we just bought. This thing came out awesome. I'm just saying when we get on the next cube, I'm like,
I can make stuff out of metal or wood, whatever. I'm not like a welder, but as far as like cutting and just using fasteners and shit like that, that's fine. I don't have a welder, so I could like learn. My buddy has one, but I never done it. So that's pretty much my week. I can pass it on to Mr. Krokowski, huh?
So with me not working right now, I finally have broken out of my funk, because I honestly haven't been playing like console games very much for several months now. And like, not purposefully, I don't know, I've just been like this weird hiatus where I just took a break. Like, every time I want to put a game on, like, I take 10 minutes to choose between which of three games I want to play. Then I finally choose one, I put it on for 10 minutes, I play, and go,
that's like looking in the cupboard and finding nothing to eat. When you just have a bunch of shit to play and not just one, you look at all of them and you just don't play any of them. It's such a weird first world problem,
and it's been kind of shit. It's been like that for, hell, probably 6 to 10 months right now. I don't know. I barely played anything. But with the announcement of Shadows of War coming out, the second version of the Middle-earth Shadows of Mordor game, I got pretty fucking excited seeing that reveal of that. And I was like, okay, well, I love that game, and it actually comes out August 22nd.
Oh, okay, okay.
But I'm saying, like, there was a reveal of it, just saying, like, this.
Okay, I thought you said review, and I'm like, holy shit.
And it was just like, the gameplay trailer was just released, I don't know, what's the day, like the 9th, it was released like yesterday. So like a week before that was just the teaser trailer, like just like the, you know, the art trailer of it. And that's what got me going on. I was like, okay, fuck yeah, this is coming back. So I was like, okay, well, I loved Shadows of Mordor. I never actually completed the game, but I spent many hours playing it. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go start a new campaign.
Like, 60 hours or something like that, right? Or more?
Easily, okay. If not more. Like, when I signed back into it, it had like 80 hours on there, but probably 20 of that is just the game being on and me not actually playing. Like it being paused kind of thing with the time children.
Yeah, and then kids there and bugging you and shit. So.
But I easily had 60 hours on this game beforehand. And because I loved it so much, I forgot that I bought the season pass for it. So when I signed back into it, I had like 3 DLCs to fucking download. I was like, sweet, I got even more shit to play now. It's awesome. So once I put that on, I was like, okay, well, in like a 30-hour span, I played for like 22 hours of fucking Shadow of the Mordor. Like I said, I pulled my first like complete all-nighter in like that I've done like several years for on video games. So I stayed up all fucking night, all day, playing this game nonstop. And so from there,
it's good to have you back.
Yeah,
good
to have you back. I'm fucking stoked. I love the Shadows of Mordor game, and I'll get into the reveal trailer in a minute here, the Shadows of War. But so from there, I was like, okay, well, now like after 22, 28 hours of gameplay of this, I'm gonna go ahead and take a break from it for a minute. But I didn't want to stop playing video games, and so I was like, you know what? I still haven't. I got Pokken Tournament for Father's Day for a present for my wife, which is the Pokemon fighting game on Wii U.
Okay.
So I had that. I had a Paper Mario Color Splash Game for Christmas on Wii U. And so I have a few other games I haven't really played on there. Because I actually haven't plugged in I have like a whole setup where I have 2 TVs going where I can play my games here. And my wife and I and my son can watch Netflix on the other TV.
But in that space, I have my Xbox One hooked up, and I have an Xbox 360 for her to play games on that TV and other shit going on. So, like, the Wii U, like, to get to play has to get, like, kind of taken off and then plugged in when I want to play it. So that hasn't been plugged in for over a year easily.
The Wii's always the one that gets unplugged. Oh, we only got so many spaces.
Yeah.
Fucking kick the Wii out.
It is what it is. So, but from there, though, my son actually watches a lot of, like, YouTube Kids videos and happened to start watching some videos on Super Mario Color Splash, the RPG on the Wii U. And so, like, I happened to be setting the games up, and I had that one sitting there. It's like, oh, Dad, I want to play that one. And he's, like, really getting into video games right now. It's fucking awesome. Like, nice. My wife has Harry Potter Lego game on the iPad. Dude,
the Lego games are so good for kids. Yeah. And they're good for, like, adults, too. They're fantastic games. Yeah.
And, like, so he plays, like, 75%+ of it on his own, and I ask for our help for a minute, but as soon as we get past a little spot, it's give me it back, give me it back. It's pretty fun to watch him, like, start really getting into video games. And so he's been playing that for a little bit now. And he saw that I owned Paper Mario. I didn't know he'd been watching those videos. So he was like, Dad, I want to play that. So I hooked it up, and me and him are playing Paper Mario Color Splash together.
Sick.
For like, probably like 4 or 5 hours total into the game. And so I also played Pokken Tournament on my own, and I haven't showed him that yet.
Is there much like, what's the word I'm looking for? Not like dexterity, but like, since it's, I don't know how far it's come since like the original Paper Mario or Mario,
like how Super Mario the controls are or RPG. Like
no, but like, is there much like actually running and jumping, or do you, when you come into an enemy, do you just like go into a fight?
No, you can definitely get an early strike in. You can jump on and hit him with your
right,
hand.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, but you like, still go into a fight.
No, okay, right gotcha, away, yeah. So I mean, that's pretty good for you know to get a kid into it. You know, instead of having to like
it's turn-based,
fight all these enemies at the same time.
You mean like RPG style?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's RPG like turn-based. It's RPG turn-based. Okay. Mario.
Dope.
Like, I absolutely love Paper Mario on the 64, and then the second one on the GameCube, and then the third one on the,
I'm telling you, man, one of these days.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
We're getting there. We are getting there, sir.
God.
So, from there, like,
hammer down.
The complaints of Paper Mario Color Splash is, like, they released one on the DS, where they turned the style of gameplay into a different style where they have, like, battle cards now. Like, you don't just get to a jump attack or hammer attack. You actually have to have the card to do particular stronger and weaker attacks. And that sucked on the DS like, version. Like, I haven't even beaten that version now. And so now I was super disappointed to find they did the same thing on this version of it. And it's better than that one where now you can, like, eventually select. Like, you literally, for every single individual attack, have to go down into the Wii U game handheld part, select a card, say, confirm you're selecting that card, then add paint to the card, and then confirm that's enough paint you want to put into it, and then flick it to the main screen for each fucking attack. So you do, like, 5 fucking things on the handheld before actually hitting to go and attack the one Goomba to jump on him several times. And then you don't get to kill a second Goomba, you have to go to a second attack and go down and do 5 more fucking things on the handheld to go up to attack him again. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah, that does sound a little annoying,
huh? It's fucking too much.
A little tedious.
Yeah,
and I just unlocked it so I can actually do 2 cards at once. So I'm like, okay, well, hopefully that means like I can do multiple, like even more cards later on, but it's still bullshit to have to do 5 interactions to attack one time. It's too much. So I'm very upset with that part of the game. But other than that, the game's great. It's in the same line of Paper Mario stuff, but the attacking is a big flaw right now.
Gotcha.
But from there, I had a lot of fun with it. I started playing Pokken Tournament, and I actually really enjoy it. Obviously, it's a fighting game, so not a whole lot of depth to the game. But I was very impressed with the fluidity of it. Like, a lot of fighting games, even now, like, they're getting better with it, where, like, actions don't have, like, a little glitch kick to it, like a half stop before you swing again or whatever.
Right.
But I know games are getting better on that, but this particular Pokemon game, it's very fluid. Like, I couldn't believe how everything just flows. There's no kit, there's no glitch, there's no giddy up, there's no half frame stoppage. It's just real smooth. And so the game itself is actually a lot of fun. So getting to what you're going to say about the Paper Mario series is, while hooking up the Wii U, I was like, wait a minute. I remember telling you that they brought Super Mario RPG, was it the fucking 7 stars?
Yep.
To the 7 stars console?
To the virtual console on the Wii U.
Yeah.
And so I said, go search for it. $7 later?
Oh, fuck mine. Yeah.
So the first thing I did actually when I set up the Wii U was download that, play it for an hour, and go, holy shit, like, this is great. And on top of that, I don't know if you ever played the 64 version of Paper Mario.
Yeah.
You did?
I have it.
So, from what I remember
fucking
of the
brag
game.
About it.
Yeah, I played through that like three, maybe 4 times. I love that fucking game.
Yeah.
So, from what I remember of it, the first hour is pretty fucking identical
to the 64 version.
Oh, the Super Mario RPG?
It's very fucking similar as far as...
Oh, yeah, like, there's a lot of talking. This is how the princess went away.
Well, no, that's obvious. But I mean, like, the actual, like, you're going to this particular castle,
Mario,
you get there.
And there's a princess and Luigi, and you're like, it's the same game.
And then Toadstool, and you're like, get out of here.
I just saw this
guy
in the last
game.
Shut
up.
You say black guy? What'd you say? What? Insults?
So.
I have a bigger wiener.
The first castle you go to, and it's like three, like, kids have taken over the castle. Like three Goomba kids or something have taken it over. And that's what happens in the first one. After you go in there first, it's Bowser, then that sword falls through.
Yeah.
And then like some kids take over the castle. And that's like the first side castle. Well,
something.
I haven't gotten that next spot, but that's what they're talking about happening as because right now the bridge is down.
Gotcha.
So that's what it's taken over, like three like brothers.
Sorry, spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't played it.
So 64, that's the exact same thing that happens in the beginning of the game, is that first castle is with three kids. I'm like, they just kind of ported it over and updated it, it feels like a little bit.
Yeah,
but I'm okay with that because I love Paper Mario the first game. So yeah. Well, on Nintendo on 64, the first one I played. So I'm very excited to play through that. But yeah, I finally have it. I've played an hour of it so far.
Fuck yeah. I'm so happy for you. That
yeah,
is
it's
up
it's
there
good.
In like my
very
top
good.
Three favorite games of all time.
And I can understand that because Paper Mario for me is one of my favorite RPGs.
And it's like take that and then just make it better.
Yeah.
Worse graphics, but make it better.
So yeah, that's been my fucking time pretty much. Oh, so today I watched the game reveal trailer for Shadows of War. And I fucking came my pants. Like my son started trying to talk to me, trying to play like Lego Jurassic Park. I told him, shut the fuck up. Give me a minute. It was such a
just
good
face
fucking
bomb.
Video.
So this is what you have. So you have it where, I'm doing the motion, you can't see it because this is an audio podcast, but you have it where your arm is bent, right? And then your hand is up near your shoulder and you grab his face and then you just straighten your arm. That's all you do. You just, boom, and you just put him into the ground. That's
and
it.
It's a full, your hand, your fingers are all spread out.
As much as they
you're
can.
You're palming his forehead.
Yeah. And then when you get contact, you just kind of, you know.
Squeeze a little. Just lock your elbow.
You're picking up a basketball.
You form fit
with one
to
hand.
The face and then extend.
Yeah. And that's it. That's how you treat women.
Yeah.
And disobey.
And then you're like.
Disobey. Cold coffee again? Oh, I can't yell. Damn it. The woman's sleeping.
Now I'm going to face push you.
Knife's wife, girlfriend is sleeping in the other room.
Yes.
So we got to shut the fuck
my
up. My bad.
My
crossing the line.
Angry fiance.
So I think Shadows of War is a fantastic game. Shadows of Earth looks 30 times better. It's fuck. I can't suggest watching the gameplay reveal trailer that enough to anybody listening to this cast. You guys as well. Like it's even if you haven't played the first game, you're going to look at this going, damn, this looks fucking sweet. They've added dragons to it. They've added, like, now you can have an army of fucking orcs and warriors behind you helping you battle through other castle sieges, and it looks fantastic.
I just overclocked my PC this last week because, you know, I have nothing better to do, and it's nice. I want to play some different games, like a big variety, and just, like, push some frames, you know what I mean?
Check this one out.
It's nice. I got another, like, 15% out of it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
As soon as I get a job again, I'm pre-ordering this off the bat. Like, I'm so excited for this fucking game. Nice. The other thing is that today I sent out the check for GNA collectibles for our cube.
I think that was
a little behind about it. I had a little fucking like KFC handy wipe. You know, they had those handy wipes, the little moist towelettes they give you. I had a little one sitting there. So
this is weird. What's going on right now?
I'm like, well, I gotta send some kind of dick thing to him as I send something, anything to fucking Greg.
What did you do? Like rub it on your balls? And
no.
Like,
I wrote like prototype on the side of it. I wrote a little cast symbol. It'll go on there. And I drew a dick coming on the colonel's face. I said,
okay.
Cum wipes. So I sent some cum wipes.
P-bibs.
Yeah, P-bibs.
Cum wipes.
Cum wipes.
P-bibs.
Cum on the colonel.
That should be their new logo.
It was pretty good.
I say you, he did.
I tell you.
That's why I wrote prototype on it, like, you know, just in case it works out. Like, we can, you know, really get this going.
Nice.
So,
that was my week.
Knife City Alchemist, do you have something to talk about? No, you don't. Moving on to Magic.
Actually, talking about getting back into console games, I too have been bitten by the bug of actually turning on my Xbox One. It's been quite some time Yes, that is a nice picture of the P-bib.
The colonel.
Come, wife. Prototype, come on.
So, I was sitting down after work the other day, and I was like, man, like, I don't want to watch TV. And I was like, oh, yeah, I have this, you know, thing that I paid a lot of money for and a lot of games for, and so I might as well turn it on. And, well, actually, this was probably like a month ago. And then there's just all these updates, so I ended up not playing anything.
It's your favorite game.
Yeah,
you play it all the time.
Yeah, yeah, just Update City is great. so anyways, a couple days ago, I turned it on and I was like, you know what I want to play? I want to play fucking Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that bug sometimes too, yeah. I
haven't played it in a while, and there's like, I don't know, four expansions, four DLCs for it now.
Did you buy the like Ultimate Edition to get all that shit, or
no, I didn't. Okay. I just bought the regular old version.
Boring.
Yeah, so I was looking on there, and I was like, fuck, I really don't want to pay $30, you know, because that's essentially, what, like, you know, $90 for a fucking game that doesn't have a fucking campaign. Like, yeah. Are you kidding me? Like, they got me. They tricked me, you know? And I noticed they had, it's $15 if you have EA Access.
Right. They always do that. They have that thing where you can play games for free, or you get some stuff.
There's like,
there
always
pricing.
Games have been out for like a year, year and a half already. Or,
yeah, so like I looked into it and like
I started doing the same thing today.
EA, you know, there's a lot of like NBA 2K 5K and NHL the fucking, you know, robot series and like whatever.
Okay, so that reminds me. I'm sorry, I cut you off for a second. That Cool Games Inc. thing, they had one of the made up games where they had it was Need for Speed 1915. So it'd be like horse and carriage meets like old Mercedes Benz Model T and all that kind of crap like that. It was really, and they got that idea and they ran with it for 20 minutes. It was super stupid. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. So, anyways, go
so
on.
It's like all these versions of like, you know, sports games that like, oh, FIFA 2017 and all this, you know. And then 2017.5 and all this stuff. So, like, most of the games, like, I'm not going to fucking play that shit. I don't. Like, if there's any sports game I'm going to play, it's going to be FIFA. And then, like, fuck the rest of the games. I don't really care about
this. Yeah, I would agree. FIFA's the best one. I agree.
And then, you know, they had some of the older stuff, the, you know, Battlefield.
Did you ever play Dead 4. Space?
I downloaded that during the whole, you know, you get it for free if you're
Dead
on
Space
Xbox Live.
Is... It's I love that game. I mean, I they have three of them, and I love all three of them, honestly.
Yeah.
Totally underrated.
So anyways. Then I was able to pay, you know...
What are respect to that argument?
$4.99 for the EA
Nobody
Access.
Nobody cares about your fucking rebuttal, sir.
EA Access was $4.99, and then I got all the DLC for, you know, like $14.99. So instead of paying $30 for the DLC, I paid $20.
And then did you cancel?
And then I'm just going to cancel the fucking the shit. And I was like, I was almost like... Am I, like, cheating the system? Like, I think I'm a genius. But nobody fucking plays Battlefront anymore, so it doesn't matter. No, but I got some games in there, and there's, like, you know, Boba Fett contracts where if you do, you know, three streaks with a certain gun and then get so many headshots, then you get to unlock certain guns.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, like, been playing the past couple days constantly and got, like, you know, through, like, four levels of XP and unlocked some guns and...
Are you going to prestige soon?
Yeah, I'm going to prestige. Good. It's just getting too easy.
Dude, back in the day with the prestige thing, even though it's not back that far, but I remember, like, you know, Mark and those guys?
Yeah.
They'd all play, and they're like, yeah, I just hit my fifth prestige, and I'm like, what are you talking? I've hit one once in one of the Call of Duties, you know? Like, it's so insane to me to think that you hit five of those.
I never prestiged because I just... didn't want to start over with all the, you know,
what did you
shit
hit,
level
did
guns.
You hit level 60 or whatever the max? Okay.
Yeah.
That still takes like...
Yeah, it takes like a long time.
50 hours? I don't know, more than that probably? Yeah. I don't know. It takes for fucking ever to prestige.
Especially when you suck.
Yeah, that too.
Every time I got to the prestige level, like I sit there like, I want to do it, but I don't want to do it at all. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to spend another 10 hours playing with all the, like, the crazy cool guns to get at the top there.
Yeah.
And then I sit there and go, I spend like, I probably spend like an hour like rereading the thing like, should I do it? Should I do it? And then finally end up fucking prestiging and going all the way back through it again. Like, I never actually... I think I only won game I prestiged twice and restarted on it. But
you know what?
Not though, like,
people listening are probably like, it's not even that hard. I've done it like in every game. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. But I just don't know how
it's just like
it.
A stupid fucking hook that the... That, you know, the people
it's
who made
that game.
It's a
cheap way of saying replayability.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
it's
but
like,
that's
oh,
what
but
it needs,
can, you can prestige
yeah,
and
that's
your...
I think it's fucking clever
well,
shit
it's like,
to
oh,
that.
Your icon gets a little bit more different. So now, if you have this icon, people will go, ooh, he must be good. It's like,
so
I'd rather just
of,
stay with these good guns and be no level.
Speaking of that, I remember in Rock Band, on the first one, they have a around the world type thing or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and you have to play
the
every
tour.
Song without stopping. Like, you can, like,
yeah,
pause it, but you can't turn the game
stupid.
Off, can't save it. So I did. I remember I got my buddy Joe, and I'm like, hey, come over. And, like, no, I'm sorry, I got Katie.
Okay.
Yeah, I got Katie, a friend of mine. And And I'm like, all right, can you be play guitar? I'll play drums, and like we'll just do this whole thing. It'll take like 9 hours. Like, who cares? And she's like, sure, whatever, you know? So we started doing it, and then she got like 5 hours in, and she's like, I can't do this anymore. This is like honestly so draining. Like, I
my
just
forearms
can't.
Are cramping.
So I had to call up Joe. I'm like, Joe, Katie, we're playing this thing. Da-da-da-da.
Tap her out.
So we get through it. So Joe comes over, we finish it or whatever, and it's only just to change like the white drum logo to like gold. And that's all it does. Not even an achievement. It just literally changes.
Achievement for that
just,
shit?
Just changes the Jesus logo color Christ. Of like your thing. So if you, I don't know, you're just going to see it like gold. I'm like, that's what I'm saying. It's just a little hook. And I'm like, but I want that. If I see anyone else want that, I'll try a bit.
Yeah.
Another thing, totally obscure. I was thinking about this the other day to eventually bring up in the cast one of these days. Guitar Hero. It was Guitar Hero 2.
Which is the best.
Which is easily the best one.
Easily.
There was a song that I remember. Not friend of mine, but a guy that I knew like from Xbox Live or whatever, his rank in the world on one of the songs was 78 in the world out of, you know, how many people? At this point, I mean millions, but I'm thinking it was like somewhere in like the 700,000 or something like that. And he was number 78. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? It's amazing. So I'm like, I got to beat him. It was an easy song to play. So you have to play it on expert. And then you have to like, I can play the whole song without missing one beat. One note, I should say.
You just have to time.
You get to time the star power thing right. To get it exactly right to get the most points out of it.
Is it the Nirvana?
No, but it was some grungy rock song. I don't know what it is. Kind of like just a steady bass, kind of like that. Gotcha. Dun. And I remember just doing it and trying it. And when I beat him, guess what number I was?
78.
77. 70 fucking 7. You know, it was like, or maybe it was that. Maybe it was that I was 78 and he was 79 now, or something like that. But I saw it on the leaderboards. I'm like, no fucking way did I beat him by literally one. But I can always say forever that I was number 77 in the world at a Guitar Hero thing.
Yeah.
Like the biggest nerd fucking pat on the back ever. And now if I look
get
at
like
it,
a business card printed. Yeah.
Now because it's been so it's been out for so long.
Nerd.
I bet you I'm like number 40,000 by this point. I bet you so many people have, you know, beaten that same thing over and over again and beaten my score a million times that my 77 has now gone to.
It's now just that. Pitiful.
So funny though, just like seeing that number be exactly what his is with like 30 more points out of like a million, you know, because like how the scores add up.
Yeah.
And I was one above him. I thought it was fucking amazing.
Well played.
My best achievement. Peppermint Swirl though, he was number 3 in the world on Dirt racing game.
Oh really?
Yeah, and that was like I remember playing the level that he got number 3 in the world at, and I couldn't do shit. Even though I was like I'm decent at video game like racing games, decent, not great, but he was number 3 in the fucking world. You got to ask him about that next time. That's really funny.
I will.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry about that. That was a nice little intrusion on your intro, but
so yeah, Battlefront, playing that, it's fun. Still, like, the game has its own little set of issues, but I finally found a gun that I like, so through one of the bounties, I forget what it is. It's like the Rebel Y or fucking something like that. So there was a game.
There
was a game.
There has been a game. Yes,
many a cell phone games. Game. It was Pokemon Duels, Pokemon Duel or something like that.
Yep.
And I was like, ah, sweet, this game sounds all right, you know? And downloaded it, and then I set it all up. It was like a long fucking, like, intro and to learn and just like a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, this game isn't all that great. You know, just kind of like a, almost like a board game where you move here, and then like you can do like it's basically random number generation.
Yeah,
just like
it's like a poor man's chess mixed with the Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah,
that sounds so weird
with Pokemon, and that's 100% it.
That's the game.
But for some,
imagine the fucking board meeting for that game.
But for some reason, I liked it, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna keep playing this because I wasn't into any. Besides, I mean, Star Wars Galaxy Heroes, still playing that, but. So I started playing it and I started like putting a little bit of time into it, and I ended up getting a new phone, and there's a number of things that you're supposed to transfer over from the old phone, you know? Like, so there was no cloud save for this, and then I was like, well, fuck this. I'm not sitting through that 10-hour fucking intro. Even hitting skip through it all, you know, took fucking 8 minutes, you know, it was horrible. And then even like signing into our If Lance Could Kill Gmail account, it's like, You need to verify this device with your old device. I'm like, well, how the fuck am I going to do that? I fucking traded it in. Like, it's like, oh, we'll have, like, you know, whichever one you're signed in at. So I went on my tablet. That wasn't working, so I had to get one of these guys. I don't know if they eventually, like, hit okay.
I went into, like, whatever I could. I did whatever I could do. I don't even know if it worked or what didn't work.
But I said, fuck you, and kept laughing at you.
I went through all the fucking things, and I just typed in the password 75 times, and I was just hoping that it worked.
Sweet. Well, it's just, like, there's been a couple things like that.
The password's Cheeto123.
Okay, so. I love
Cheeto. Fox. Sorry.
There's just been a number of things with my...
Chinese PNGs.
That was the original
password.
Yeah, I got the same phone that I did before. It's just I switched companies because AT&T has been a pain in the ass.
Where are you now? Where are you at?
T-Mobile.
T-Mobile.
You know what's funny, though,
is they are better than most companies in San Diego.
Okay, so back in the day, they were fucking hot garbage.
Yes,
you know,
hot garbage.
And I would love to stay with AT&T. It's just they've been dicking us around since, like, November of last year about, like, the incorrect billing and stuff like that and, like, overcharging us. And then we finally just said, okay, well, fuck you, we're not paying the bill for the past 2 months, because they're like, okay, yeah, well, we put in a ticket for that, and then we're going to send it to our, you know, next, yeah, our next team up that
we're
going to
draw this out for a really long time and hope you don't communicate and you pay a lot more.
Yeah, exactly, and then they're going to give you a call in a week, and then we, like, probably talked to like 5 or 6 different people, and that next level team never fucking called us, and they were supposed to call us back this one time, and then they're supposed to call us back another time, and it's like
you were supposed to call them from the number they didn't give you.
And then my girlfriend was like so pissed off that she was just like a total bitch to the last person. She's like, because the lady's like, well, see what I can see. It's showing me here that you guys paid X amount here. And she's like, I don't think you're fucking listening to me. I'm saying you guys promised one thing and you haven't done that for the past 5 fucking times I called. So I don't know what the fuck you're looking at, because it doesn't fucking matter. And like, she was like going off, and I was like, oh, okay. This is why you deal with these things and not me.
Wow.
Yeah. And
should be the reason you deal with them and not her. Yeah. That's the way I see it. That's the way a normal person sees it. But
No, just guys, 6 times of dealing with idiots, like, I'd get frustrated too.
Because,
no,
I know. I'm because it's like the it's almost like there's
a joke here, you piece of shit.
It's almost like there's no record.
I agree with you.
It's almost like there's no record of when you called before, you know?
Sorry. It's a little harsh. I'm sorry. I'm a little heated right now.
You're not wrong.
So anyways, I had to go fucking sit down at T-Mobile for like 5 fucking hours and then switch over to this fucking
bullshit.
And then
you couldn't sign into our Google account.
Yeah, I couldn't sign into all this. And then
the game save was fucking dead.
No wonder you're laughing at me making fun of you.
I just got the same goddamn phone. I just switched, which is super. It's not even an upgrade. And the next version, the like S8, is coming out like next month or like soon. And I was like, hey, babe, why don't we just wait? And she's like, no, I'm not dealing with this for another month. I'm just like, all right. And then she fucking got an iPhone. And I was like, that's the big heartbreak here.
That's the worst part, right?
Yeah.
Leaving the Android family.
Because she's like,
rough.
Well, I could go, you know, get this Android or I could get the iPhone. And I was like,
is she okay, the computer, digitally stuff, and all kind of stuff with you? Does she have the knowledge and base background that you do?
I couldn't even fucking figure out iTunes on how to get music from my computer to her iPod through iTunes. I could not figure that out.
Well, my question was for the Android stuff, because if she's not doing all like the fucking patchwork and all the other things you're doing on there, like the emulators, she doesn't need that.
Yeah, she doesn't really
need
it.
And an iPhone is a lot more easier for someone who's not into that kind of stuff.
Well, it's just she, like, grew up on Android, and so, like, the switch over, I'm like, hey, listen, if you fucking get this iPhone, I don't want to hear you bitch for the next week that you don't know how to change someone's contact information, okay? Like, I don't want to hear it, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, it was funny. I was telling her, like, oh, well, you can just download Zedge, which is, like, an app to get, like, ringtones and wallpaper and stuff. And it's like after she already like signed the contract for like the iPhone, and the guy's like, oh yeah, by the way, you can't really do that. You have to like download it through iTunes and then import it. And it's like,
you know, you don't have to go on your computer and do that.
Well, anyways, I just looked at her like, see, this is what you have to deal with. And I'm not helping you at all. I don't give a fuck. You know? So anyways, she's part of the enemy team now. The Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
So why no Verizon? Too expensive, I'm guessing.
Well, it's more expensive, and also she before she came to AT&T, she was on Verizon.
T-Mobile. Oh, she was on Verizon?
And she had a lot of problems with
really?
It.
Really? Okay, yeah. Fair enough. I just feel like if you feel like it's the utmost importance or something like that, and you're willing to pay the extra, because it's obviously the most expensive company, I just feel like they're just trouble-free. They're just nothing. It's like having a Costco membership or using Amazon. It's like there's just certain services that you're like, if long as you're willing to pay and like willing to whatever, like everything is just easy. Like I've had them since I was 18 and I've just had no phone calls, nothing.
Yeah.
And I buy phones online, not even off their website, just buy them off like Amazon or whatever. And they come in and I just hit the button on the phone and then all my shit just transfers over automatically. It's just, I don't know what to say. It's been great, but I also pay more than everybody else because it's fucking Verizon.
It's like the same thing with AT&T. I've had them ever since I had my first phone. Well, when it was singular, but then they merged. Anyways,
what was merge. Before that? Pac Bell? What the fuck? What other?
Ma Bell?
Got the some other. There was a company before singular for them too. I just don't remember what it was.
Anyways,
it might have been AT&T, and then it went back and forth. Who cares? Moving on.
Not relevant. So yeah, I never had a problem with AT&T until now. And anyways, her problem with Verizon was like the phone wouldn't connect to like Wi-Fi or the internet, and like their customer service was like just as shitty as AT&T.
Bummer.
It's like, we'll just send you a new phone, and then it has the same problem. It's like, oh well, you must be doing something wrong. It's like, fuck you, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. Because then I was having to deal with it because she didn't know what the hell she was doing. So I was like, fuck. So now we're with them, and I actually get service at work now.
T-Mobile.
So I'm excited about that.
I think they have the best customer service, T-Mobile. I think they're rated number one in customer service. And if you're having problems with it, I think that's probably a good move to move over to them.
And it's like ridiculously cheaper because we went in on a plan with like one of her friends. So now like for the three of us, it's like $100.
Nice.
Like combined.
Nice.
You know? So it's like
I'm paying a little more than that. So yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
For two phones. So. Yeah.
So anyways, that was a big fucking ordeal. And I didn't get service at work before. Now I do get service out in the boonies. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Excellent.
Touch
my thigh.
Speaking of work, there was some rain a little while ago, a week and a half ago, something like that. And where
were
y'all?
The boulder you hit fall off the hillside?
No. It is kind of a boulder situation, though. So we're like out in the boonies, like 4 miles off the main road, which being main road is very, very gracious term because
liberal
it's
turn there.
Yeah, that main road is still like a boonies out in the boonies fucking road. So anyways, we're out in the middle of nowhere in this little valley. So like all this rain that's coming down just like fucked up our little trails because it's all like dirt roads, you know. Yeah. It's not, there's nothing paved for a while. So like we usually like, I don't know. I'm not good with distances, but like we're the
couple fathoms.
Yeah,
couple,
we're parsecs.
Yeah, a couple parsecs.
Fathoms.
Fucking, like 3 leagues to the west. Fucking.
Where our residents live is like, you know,
four scores.
Little,
yeah. Yeah. How many clicks is what we're wondering?
Yeah, it's a hop, skip, and a fucking nook and cranny.
Yeah.
Up away from the main building. So anyways, we like drive up top in the, you know, the druggy buggy, the white van, pick him up for whatever, and then we come back down. Anyway, so it was so fucking muddy that like going up that just slight, you know,
were you
drive.
Driving again? Were you driving?
Yeah, I was driving. There's no one was in the car, luckily enough. But I was hoping
it was going to be a story
so
like this too.
So I just got stuck in the mud, and
I was hoping it'd be worse.
And then like, you know, some of the guys were outside of the bunkhouse, and I was like, "Hey, come down here and help me get it out." So we got it out, and I was like, "Well, fuck, I'm not going this way anymore." So I tried to turn around, and this is where it gets good. I didn't realize like the turn radius was that bad. I didn't realize like how far I was going into the grass. And I went to the grass and got stuck real bad. The grass is like a goddamn marshland. There's just like all the rain is accumulating and like you can't really tell that it's just muck.
Waters to the fucking windshield.
So it's like so I'm not like stuck like too bad, you know, I'm not like
until you gun it?
No, not even that. I know not to fucking dig myself deeper, you know? And then I'm like, well, fuck, I'm stuck. Okay, and then so some of the guys come down from the bunkhouse again, like, give me shit. And then they're like, oh, you know, they stuck some fucking shit underneath the tires. And they're like, okay, go. And they're like rocking it and shit. And then that's when...
got some wheel spin.
The wheel spinning and the fucking... tires go like way down into the mud to where it's like half the tire and like the
like the differential for the fucking drivetrain is like just wedged into the mud.
The run
high the step you had to step into the car is like submerged.
The running board is like an inch above the mud. And I'm just like, because the back left tire is just like done. It is in there good.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, okay, I fuck this up real bad. This isn't good. And so there's like a the rehab I work at like rents the property from this other place, and so there's a guy who lives on the property that takes care of all everything, you know. And he's, you know, real buddy with everyone. He doesn't work necessarily for the rehab, but he works for the other place. So anyways, I see him. I'm like, hey dude, I got this shit stuck. And he's like, all right, you know. let me go find fucking something. And he comes back with a tractor.
Good for him.
And I don't know why, but he decides to drive through the grass. Knowing full well my predicament. And he doesn't even make it halfway to me before he gets stuck. So he's like in this much heavier vehicle, like stuck in the mud. And like he's like trying to like put the fucking... the bucket down to lift him up. And he's just getting all pissed off. And I can't help but laugh and laugh. Because it's just hilarious. Like, he came to save me, and now he's even more fucked. Like, you can't just, like, easily get a tractor out,
you know?
Get
a bigger tractor.
Drive that through the grass.
Gotta get the mama tractor to take care of the baby tractor.
To take care of the druggy buggy.
The druggy buggy.
Oh,
shit.
And then so...
stupid idiot.
And so he goes and gets his, like, wife's truck, his big old fucking, you know, four-wheel drive, tries to get the van out. It won't fucking come out. Like, it is in there good. And so I'm like, well, fuck, this is kind of bad. And I tell my boss, and he's like, okay, we're going to have to call AAA, have them come out. Next day we find out, hey, AAA can't come out. So we're going to have to get like a private company. It's going to be like expensive, you know? And I'm like, fuck, dude, why do I have such bad luck with these vans?
You should have called me. I could have got the Mazda out there.
Start doing donuts around it.
Yeah.
And then luckily, one of the residents was out on pass and he came back and his dad has this big old, I don't fucking know, just a monster truck. Let's fucking say that. And
literally Gravedigger.
Yeah. Gravedigger. and he was able to pull the truck out, but the tractor, or he was able to pull the van out, but the tractor, yeah, that fucker's stuck till it's like dry out. it's stuck till summer.
That is so great.
And I was like, this is great. As long as people forget about me driving off the cliff, they can make fun of me all they want for getting stuck in the wood. That's fine. But driving off the cliff and endangering lives, that's...
Dude, talking about the amount of rain and water, my wife and son and I went on a walk over at the Mission Trails Dam area. Just down the way over here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that multiple times.
Where we went on our polka walk?
Yes. Correct. Correct, sir. Yes. We didn't go obviously down the road.
Right.
And so, like, walking over there, you know, it was actually pretty packed out and everything, and it had been all those rains we just had. And so I assumed there'd be more water. We go over there, and there's one spot where, you know, there's parking, you can go up by a dam, but a little bit farther up, there's a spot where there's just a little bridging across. We decided to go across the little bridge area. And we get up to it, and the fucking water is so high that's like running over the top of this bridge.
Oh,
wow. Usually, you could sit on this bridge and dangle your legs entirely down below and not even be touching the water.
Not even close.
And it is like flowing like 6 inches above this bridge. And just like, you know, steady fucking go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, okay. Like, that was right off the bat. So we're like, fuck it. And I'm wearing like, and I had this pair of like desert like army boots that have like, you know, enough aeration to them where I'm not gonna get bogged down with a bunch of water walking through. So she takes her shoes off. I carry my son. We walk across this fucking water bridge, And it's just like, it was pretty crazy to see how much change in environment had been in the area. And we were, so we're all like already ogling that, like being, you know, awestruck with it. And we get 10 feet up, farther up in the trail, and there's this fucking fat, like 3-foot rattlesnake. All of a sudden it pops up, like 2 feet from my wife, and all of a sudden, and it's going crazy. Like, oh shit. Luckily, my son and I were a little farther back. And so, like, it just.
So you push your wife down, and you ran back.
I pushed her, and I was like, yeah. Save the son. You know, that's really important.
The legacy.
There it is.
Legacy. We have your DNA. Shall prevail. We have your DNA.
So that was the start of it, though. But then when we walked over to where we usually hike through there, and it was just incredible to see how much. Like, all of our trails, like, they're small, you know, near the little water around that area that we usually walk through were just decimated.
Yeah.
Like, all the trees and, like, other low-hanging branches and everything has just been knocked over. And now, like, the regular dirt areas have now been, they're a little higher up, so now the water's not there anymore. But now it's, like, the rock bed sand you would get from
there. Right.
So it was just crazy to see how much water was actually still flowing to the area.
Fucking terraforming in San Diego, California.
I mean, like, we don't get a lot of rain out here, and it actually helped because, like, we're almost out of the drought. I think Northern California is, like, out of the drought.
I forget the numbers, but we're seriously, like, not even in a drought anymore.
I don't think that the, you know, dams are at, like, max capacity and shit like that, like reservoirs, but I believe the word drought is gone now in California.
Okay. And so, like, we just got a shitload of rain, like, a couple weeks ago.
We don't need more water-filled packages of bubble mailers anymore.
So, we got a lot, and it fucked shit up.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning.
That's okay, good. So good news.
So I was breathing. Yeah. Eyes open. My girlfriend had left for school, fiance had left for school earlier in the morning, so she just kind of like left the door cracked so the dogs could go play outside or whatever. And I wake up and I go outside and I see my terrier, my little sweet Peach, 11.
The only dog you actually like, right?
No, I like them all. She's just my favorite. And my fiance is like, "You're bad having a favorite." I'm like, "Well, the dog shouldn't suck so bad." I don't know. I don't know what to tell
you. I've enjoyed like your anger level at Daisy and the obvious like bit of hate you have towards her, like grow. I don't know if hate's the right word, but it's getting there.
No.
By the way, she let me pet her twice today without
Peach?
Moving. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Didn't move at all. Like just looked at me. And was let me go to town. I just got in that belly and just massaged.
It's probably because she was about to kill you. Because when I went outside, there was a rabbit. And now when I say a rabbit, it was more like two rabbits, but like halves. Because she was laying straight, and on either side of her was the head and the feet.
So once again,
there was no belly.
There's a picture on Twitter of this. So same thing. You guys got to follow and see these stupid fucking pictures.
Just picture the apple and the pineapple dude. And then putting, you know, that song. Just put them together.
Don't worry about
pin,
the song.
Pineapple pin.
It's not going to.
You don't know it? No.
If you don't know it, that's going to make
you
gibberish. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you don't get it then. But you picture a rabbit. Little dog
it's,
rabbit.
It's, I saw the picture. It's like pretty clean cut.
Yeah. There was
like it's surprising how there's just like legs and tail and then like torso and head. And you're like, how? That's like right in the middle.
Yeah. And there was no blood. There's no guts anywhere. There's no blood or guts on any of the dogs. Like, I checked their feet and their snouts and, like, nothing. And I'm like,
maybe this is, like, a call symbol from, like, a serial killer that's going to, like, come in the house or something right now. Like, well, that's just what he drops
there
off
there was
first.
A badger skull.
I'm just saying she split that bitch in twain.
Yeah.
Because it was perfect. And I was like, so because of the rains, my backyard, the weeds have just, like, grown so fast. I mean, I'm not great when it comes to yard work, you know, like I'm pretty lazy when it comes to that. So like the weeds are like up to my armpits. Okay. It's pretty bad. So they're like,
how tall is the grass in Santee?
Yeah. The weeds in Santee. So like she's just been going in there lately and like it's her little jungle because she's like, you know, 11 pounds. So it's like, it's a fucking forest to her, you know? So she's just been going in there lately, and I can't get her out. You know, I have to go, like, in there and, like, fucking chase her out. So I think that's what she's doing. She's hunting. So she's like, I brought a gift for the family. I'm like, that's fucking gross. And she fucking, like, with bugs or anything, like, if she, like, is fucking with a bug and then kills it, she will, like, do the alligator death roll on it. You know, like, you know, like,
squish it to herself.
Yeah. So she'll, like, see it, and then she'll, like, get down. And then, like, roll on it to, like, smush it more.
I wanted you to fall out of your chair so bad right
Yeah, I
now.
Thought I kicked over some shit. But anyways, you know, if you remember Indiana Jones, you know, when the guy falls and they're all, like, rolling and shit. She does that. So I can only assume she was doing that to the fucking poor bunny. So
There's no blood. It's all just like rubbed into her skin and fur and shit like that.
Yeah. She's turned into fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger from The Predator. You know, she's like all matted down and like the bunnies can't see her.
I think they're one of their own.
Yeah. And then one last thing, a game we had all played a long time ago, and we still play every once in a while, and you may have heard us talk about it before, called Wahoo. It's essentially Sorry or... Parcheesi, yes. Yeah. anyways, my girlfriend wanted to play some last night, and I was like, sure. And then usually we play for steaks or something, you know, like... delicious meat.
Like Outback?
No, we'll like put something on the line. And so, you know, first we put like, you know, food wager or whatever. Oh, you have to buy me lunch, you know, whatever. And then she wanted to play for, I got a new dice bag because mine was all fucked up. And it's a Ninja Turtles dice bag.
It's fucking awesome. You better not lost.
Okay, so the whole thing was when we were at this place called Game Empire, one of the many shops around here in San Diego.
Not a fan.
Really? Not a fan?
Horrible customer service.
Well, yeah, but the place is pretty cool. They got a lot of shit.
No, the place is fucking sweet. But the people there are fucking... I've been there like a handful of times. Every time they're fucking cunts.
Well, they don't help you, that's all. But
yeah,
that's okay.
Pretty much.
Well, it's just even talking to them. They're just
they have like the best selection of board games, I want to say.
Oh, for sure.
Though.
Easily.
So anyways, we were there and she had pointed out the dice bag. And then she had like walked away. And then so I immediately grabbed it. You know, I got it, you don't. And she's like, oh, I wanted that. I'm like, well, too bad I have it now. So anyways, she was trying to get me to play for it. And I was like, sure, you know, fuck it, let's play for it. And so anyways, we played a handful of games, you know, 3, 4, 5 games. And every time we played for the bag, I won. Every time we played for something else, I lost. Lost my ass off.
At least you won the Ninja Turtle bag.
So the final game, I'm like, all right, so this one is for the bag. If you win, you get the bag. And if I win... you have to do the dishes, and you lose everything else you won up until this point.
Like, all or nothing.
Yeah.
This is it.
All or nothing.
Culmination.
And she agreed? Fucking stomped the shit out. You know, I mean, you guys don't know Wahoo, but it's just like, you get those rolls. It's like, I guess there's no other game like it, but if you roll sixes, you get to roll again. So you can just, like, speed your way around the board, and then, like, you just get those magic rolls where it's 6, 6, 6, 4, and you like land on their piece.
And that resets them.
And yeah, it resets that piece. And that's like the last piece they need to, you know, finish the rounds or whatever. And it was just amazing. And I know like it's not, you know, awesome to talk about, but I was just like so happy that like when it mattered, I fucking whooped her ass. So now my bag is all mine.
Years and a half.
Yeah, you never bet it again because your luck has ran out now.
Yeah, yeah. So. You never bet the Fet.
Fuck it. Never bet the Fet. No matter how sure I am, I never bet the Fet, man.
Exactly. So let's move on to some magic.
So we should start off with talking about one of our listeners, Mr. Tom Porter. You are listening.
Dude.
I know you are. Number one super fan. He sent us a care package. And we'll send it to Knife, right? Sent to you, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a Fat Pack. Full of fucking value. It was he. I guess would you say he just plays at MTGO more than anything else?
So he just said just he didn't. Gift. Yeah, he didn't have a lot of use for paper cards that were kind of just building up. So I don't know if he plays a lot of MTGO or, you know, just drafts and doesn't really like have a lot use for paper cards. But he's just like, hey, I got a care package for you guys, and he sent it out. I had no idea what was in it. Opened it up, and I just texted the guys. I was like, holy fuck. And I sent, you know, pictures of a couple cards. And it wasn't until they came over today we were actually able to spread out all the rares, which took up multiple tables. And because we spread them all out, you know, so we could see each one. Took up multiple tables and chairs and everything. And we did a snake draft. So 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, fantasy magic draft.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, so shout out to him. That was
thanks, man. That's some sweet.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
Shit,
amazing to have something like
some
that.
Cool cards, a lot of fun.
I mean, that's way cooler than having a Patreon. You know, like fuck Patreon. We don't want your money. Just every once in a blue moon, just send us some cool shit, and then we're like, oh my god, this is great.
It was amazing, and then we...
Oh, he's definitely getting an ass picking
right, right, right away, so we roll to see who picks first, and Knife rolls first, and what does he roll? A 20. And we're like, oh my god, and then Jesus. I rolled a 19. I was like,
fuck you guys. Oh, I knew I was going to lose this right now, but fuck you guys.
And it doesn't really matter what Crow rolled, because...
11.
It was garbage.
Yeah. So you got, like, just... some general cards that we picked up, you know what I mean? Like,
so, like, pack one, pick one, if you will. I picked up Elspeth...
Tyrell, Tyrael.
Yeah,
yeah, Tyrell. Whatever that is. I picked up a Polluted Delta, and then you picked up...
Emrakul, and, like, Rest in Peace.
Yeah, and then we kind of back and forth. And we know there was... I mean, we really appreciate it, because there was some pretty sweet stuff in there. There was Theros Gods in there, like I said, one fetch land, a couple Planeswalkers... Like,
foil,
just some decent,
full art land.
Foil, full art land. We had, like, a Tireless Tracker, and... I mean, there's a bunch of shit. Yeah, I know. We have, like, the
money,
thing
Foil
here.
Oath of Nissa, Concealed Courtyard, Adventure's Fair.
Yeah, there was, like, some, like, a fast
then,
land
and then
in
there's
there,
a bunch,
land.
There's a bunch of shit I picked out before you guys even got here.
I'm sure you did. I knew you did.
But it was sweet. It was totally sweet. We really appreciate it, and it's exciting to have all this awesome new fucking cards. I don't know. And we had fun, like, and, you know, it was a little game to us to see cards that remind us of, you know, times when the beginning of playing, like, Hundred-Handed One and all this other shit.
Or like
we're making fun of it. And,
Ash,
you know,
Zealot.
Ash Zealot. You know, we were making fun of it, and it's like, I know you're going to pick that one. And it was a cool game, you know, to like to go see what people were picking up. You know, what people valued over the other ones. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, there's some cool pickups that I'm going to add to some of my EDH decks or Frontier decks. That was cool.
I started picking up fucking blue-white Sphinx stuff. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and make a blue-white like bounce Sphinx fucking commander deck now. Like, 10 of these cards I just got from you, man. So
hell
sweet.
Yeah,
it was dope. yeah, it was exciting though. So I would say about that, I have a picture that I sent to him on Twitter once again, just showing like the main table layout. It was it's pretty epic. Yeah. Pretty fun.
It's got like a stack of like 60 plus cards, like almost all rares and mythics.
Yeah. Nah. So besides that, we have our cube put together.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah. So
amazing.
We have, if you've heard us talk about it before, we were putting together a conspiracy cube, basically one of every card from Conspiracy 1 and Conspiracy 2, and then minus like 64 cards, so that equals 360 cards in the cube, so it's draftable up to 8 people. Unfortunately, we've just been doing 3-man drafts.
4 packs of 15, but it's, you know, that's been a lot of fun.
180 of the 360 cards we've been drafting.
But it has been funner than shit.
Dude, it's been
so
like,
much
better than my expectations. I already thought it'd be good, but I had no idea how much fun it'd be, though. They're strong. Like, there's a good balance. Obviously, it's supposed to be a draftable format, so there's, like, a good balance, like, really powerful stuff, and just the right amount of, like, burn spells, sweepers, you know, heavy-hitting creatures. Like, there's a right balance where it's not just everyone has 6 bombs. It's just, like, everyone has 2, everyone has 1 mana fixer, everyone has... you know, 2 removal spells. It's like a really, really good balance of what is in the draft format. So good.
I was going to ask you guys, so far, though, like, who's the cube champion so far?
Well, I mean...
Oh, we've played 4 games. I've won 3. No, I'm just saying.
Well, I think...
I've said so far.
My hate for certain people is just... certain things happen, I'm like, well, all my attention's going towards you, so... Champion is a last man standing is probably a better term for that. But yeah, we've had fucking a blast drafting.
So much fun.
I think that's gonna be our new like tradition before we cast. And like fuck,
at least for a hot minute, like why wouldn't it be? It's so
I
much
keep
fun.
Falling into the trap of like green because the green creatures are so fucking ridiculous in this cube, and it's so easy to like pair it up with blue. For the bounce or tempo or card selection.
So there's this conspiracy that when you cast instant or sorcery, as long as you like name the card before the game starts, you can copy that spell and choose a new target. And
both times
I've drafted, I've got Regicide, and both times I've got that conspiracy. So both times I'm able to, for 1 black mana, at instant speed, kill 2 creatures, and I've used it. It's been really heavy hitting every time I've used it. It's been gross as hell.
I just want to say that you're lucky that you picked that up because I was hoping it would wheel so I could use it for expropriate and just take like 5 turns in a row.
Yes. That's the thing. Remember when it passed, I'm like, why is this wheeling? Like, why is this conspiracy is so strong?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that one. And then the other conspiracy is the one that you get to draft. You get to get two hands of seven and then pick the best one. So instead of just
I had that the first time.
Another one of those. When it passes, you're like, what?
No,
this
that
gives you
pass.
Like this gives you like so much advantage for your opening hand. It's crazy.
Yeah, so. And we're still like messing with the
tweaking the numbers.
I had put together an initial list of cards that we were going to cut, and so we kind of still have to tweak that a little bit. And we're still working out how we're going to work with the conspiracies, whether we're going to keep in like the major mythic ones, because those kind of drastically shift.
We've seen
gameplay.
Some of them that are garbage too, like that we see that are rare, even like that one that. All the cards in your library, or whatever.
World Knit.
Whatever that is, yeah. And
so you, play everything you draft, but all your lands tap for any color.
Yeah, like, and we don't play that shit. Like, we know we're not going to play it. It's some of those cards we do have to, like, fix, you know, have to move them around.
And then this set, we're going to have so... It's going to be such... Every time we have, like, I'm cutting... Every time I've done it, like, my sideboard is cut with so much power, so many cards that I still, like, wish I was playing. So, like, the one conspiracy where your library is five cards less...
Yeah,
like that's not going to be played by any of us. Like, there's too much power.
Well, I mean, so that's to improve consistency.
And I agree. I understand how powerful it could be.
We both agree.
Yeah.
But if we were drafting three packs, that would make a lot more sense. But four,
right.
All we want to do is play 40 plus cards.
Right.
I played 41. I was like, I don't want to make any more cuts.
Well, that's why. I mean, I feel like we built the cube for eight man. You know, because that's pretty much.
Well,
the
to
goal,
able, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, drafting three man is not necessarily the desired.
So,
number.
If you're in the San Diego area, hit us up.
I mean, we do have a couple prospects. We got Killer Corey out out there in the east of the counties.
Cold blood.
Whatever.
That guy is cold blooded, ruthless, dude. That guy will leave.
Oh, those cats is fucking minions, dude.
He will leave you for dead. That guy.
Oh
that
my god,
Corey niece.
I had
animal.
I had put something on Twitter about how like the people who listen to this podcast are fucking savages. Like they are ruthless for the sake of comedy. But you guys are cool and you got big hearts and you have like actual consciences. But you guys just don't pull any punches sometimes.
Well,
it's like,
do we? Well, it's pretty well matching.
Well, fucking Corey Neese, Atman thinking a lot. He was saying some shit on Twitter to where even I was like, I was alone in my house and I was just kind of like pacing back and forth for 10 minutes going, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. And just like laughing.
On the shitter.
Yeah, I was on the shitter and then walking around and I just kept laughing. It's just gonna make me laugh.
Cold-blooded. Once again, get Twitter. You'll see what we're talking about.
That one was so over the top. It's so great. It was so fucked up and so hilarious.
And even old Brunefister has a couple, below the belt. But shout out to our listeners.
Sweet, the cube is amazing. Moving past that, we can talk about some real quick stuff like the Clash Pack or whatever it is, right?
Yeah,
Dual deck.
Might versus Mind. Obviously, they've only shown so far the like leaders of the deck or whatever kind of deal. Like last one was Obnixilus versus Nissa. This one is Johira of the Gitu for one of blue and a red. Legendary Human Wizard 2/2. Pay 2 mana, exile a non-land card from your hand. Put 4 time counters on the exiled card. If it doesn't have suspend, it gains suspend.
Well, the Obnixilus versus Nissa, was that a...
They're dual decks, yeah.
Okay, so that wasn't like the intro?
No.
Okay.
Dual decks. So the intro is now the Planeswalkers.
Right, but I'm saying...
No, but
Obnixilus was a dual deck. The Planeswalkers were on the front.
Yeah.
That's why I said.
So this time now it's legendary creatures. So
gotcha.
The other one against it was Mind versus Might. So Johira is the Mind. The Might is Lovisa, Cold Eyes for 3 and double red. Legendary human. Each creature that's a barbarian, a warrior, or a berserker gets +2/+2 and has haste. It is a 3/3.
Sexy.
Super sexy.
So I think like the Lovisa people are talking about it's like an older fucking card, I think, and whatnot.
Right.
So people are kind of excited about that reprint.
I don't know. Somebody was yelling on Twitter about like, sell your ancestral visions, like get rid of them now because they're going to be in there. And it's like,
I hope you do.
I hope they're in there so price can go down.
Yeah, I sold mine because the price just got to a point where I'm like, I mean, it's a really good card, but, like, you know, $45 sounds pretty good, too. So.
I had the one from the anthology, but, like, I want more of that card, but I'm not spending $45 on it, because it's good, but it's not.
I just threw in my tiny leaders, and it's just staying there.
Yeah, that's fine. That's a good place to put it. So, besides that, we have that thing that Mark Rosewater said in one of his like interviews or asking me any type anything type thing.
His AMA Tumblr. Ask me anything on my ask me anything on my Tumblr. I'll give you questions if you got answers. I mean the other way around.
Check his MySpace. It was on there. What do you say about it? You want to read it exactly?
Yeah, I'll read it real quick. Okay. So on Blogatog, somebody asked, can we have a set where class tribal matters? I know there was a warrior theme in Tarkir, but I like the feel in Morningtide of different races coming together because of their common role. The response was, we have a set in the pipeline right now with tribal class sub-themes, which is something they talked about like not really doing anymore. So it's kind of exciting to hear them like say that supposedly.
Yeah, tribal's fun.
Yeah, because
super fun.
It's a lot of, you know, there's a reason why Morningtide and the fucking that and whatnot, that that four block set was one of the most popular sets. It was so good.
And we've talked about it before, and you know, the past, I don't even know how many sets, they throw a little tribal at you, but
not enough to make it.
We feel like they're
powerful.
Afraid to make it too good. So like, I mean, all the way back to like the Theros block with the Minotaurs, and then Khans with the warriors. And
Innistrad with the zombies.
Zombies.
You get excited, but it's never enough to like. It's like you may as well not do this because you're giving us a little ball tickle, but it doesn't work.
There's no Pro Tour deck that can come out of any of this stuff, and that's unfortunate. That couldn't be just one, you know.
Like even allies wasn't shit.
Whoa! That was never gonna be shit.
I agree, but
like, slivers.
Oh yeah, I mean they did slivers, so it's like they're giving us just enough. So it's nice that they're actually going to. Obviously step it up, you know, with multiple tribes, it sounds like.
So yeah, well, I mean, we'll see like how in depth it goes and
pick
how much
up,
power they give us.
Pick
but
up
hopefully.
Your metallic mimics now.
I don't know. Then they say in the pipeline. That could be
It could be
out.
The next 5 years.
It couldn't be anywhere near the step.
But I mean like obviously whatever format that's still gonna be good for your tribe.
Yeah. So that's pretty much a couple things, a little news topic we can talk about, but otherwise the biggest news, as you know, and we're a little late to the game, but that's okay because it's not even out yet, is Modern Masters 2017 coming out, I believe, on the 17th of March.
St. Paddy's.
So, yeah. I mean, so that's this Friday. Yeah.
Yep.
So when you're listening to this, I mean, yeah, like the Friday coming up. This is going to be it.
For us.
Fucking awesome. Amazing. So, we got the full spoiler, right, last week. And
I would just like
what
to
do talk about?
I would like to go on record to say, fuck anybody who has anything bad to say about this. Whether it's reprints, whether it's print size, whether it's foiling process. Like, I don't give a fuck. Do you know how long everyone has been complaining about reprints? Like, go back and listen to, like, Heavy Meta episode, like, fucking 70. Like, 70. Like, you go back and they're bitching about reprints. Obviously, they were a big proponent of it, but a lot of people were talking about it. And then back in the day.
When we say bitching, that sounds like a negative connotation. We want reprints as well. We mean, but it's been like, it's been
begging
a community begging of reprints nonstop. So like, we all want reprints. So I don't know, it comes across as we're talking shit about them saying they want reprints. And like, this is fantastic.
I mean, there's so many notes to hit on with this set. A lot of people had said, you know, back in the day there was a block called, fuck, now I'm blanking on it. I just...
Get it, bro. What
anyways, they did a lot of reprints, and that's kind of when, like, everyone's like, oh my god, like, Magic's gonna fail because they reprinted all this shit.
That's one of the...
That was one of the first ones you're talking about, right? Isn't that, like, first couple years of Magic? They had, like, the collector's thing, or the...
No, it was a standard set, I believe.
Okay. Anyways.
Yeah, but there was really good, some guy made a video of, like, the top 10 times that Magic was gonna die. And like,
and that was one of them. Yeah,
and he's most of the time like get community overreactions of things.
Yeah,
and that was like one of the main ones, right? This one you're talking about. I can't remember what set either right now, but there was a time where like the first reprints of things, and everybody's like, "Oh, this is gonna kill the game."
And so,
20 years later, we're still playing.
Yeah, and also, people have been complaining that Wizards isn't giving Modern enough support. Now what they're talking about is they're talking about coverage. They're talking about GP format. They're talking about Pro Tour format. They're talking about being in the eye of Magic.
Yeah.
It's not in the eye of Magic. There's no more Modern GPs. Am I correct in that?
Correct.
No more Modern GPs. No more Modern Pro Tours. It's not going to be on coverage, or at least WotC coverage. So to a lot of people, they feel betrayed because, hey, you really sold us on this format, you know, what was it, six years ago, something like that. And now it feels like you're pulling back and you got us all hyped and now we're all flaccid. You know, you're not even going to finish this off. Nothing.
I'm going to fucking make it into a penguin.
So now they're making all these reprints in Modern Masters 3, which is what I'm going to call it. And supposedly the print run is going to be more than the previous Modern Masters.
I believe the print run is...
That much we know.
What I heard is that whatever the distributors are going to order is how much they're going to print. So it's based on, it's not like a set number. Right. What I've heard is that whatever distributors want to order, they're going to go ahead and print that, and they're just going to let, like, basically the people decide how much is going to get printed. Not saying that it's unlimited print, I'm just saying that the people basically, that are in charge right now, of hearing distributing it.
People talking about on Twitter, or even like some people who I've talked to and know, like who can buy distributing wise, like right now there is no cap to how much you can order.
Right.
So like, and the rest of the other masters, the internal masters, they've all had a cap. There is no cap right now, which is just good news.
So as far as we know, it's going to be more than the previous Modern Masters.
Yeah.
So,
and especially with what's in this set, people are going to want to buy this more. So
if you look at it like this, this is WotC supporting Modern. Modern has become... There has become a barrier to entry when it comes to certain archetypes, certain cards. Not saying every card and every archetype and every deck should be super cheap so everyone can play. That's not how hobbies work. But they were getting out of control. And with this set coming out, they're saying, hey, these cards are coming into the market. It's going to lower the price. Therefore, more people are going to want to play Modern. And there's this big fucking stupid excuse of people saying, well, you know, if people play Modern, they're not going to want to play Standard, or if you don't support Standard, and people play different formats. That's why I never understood why people bash on Frontier. I play Standard, Tiny Leaders, Commander, Modern,
Standard,
Pauper.
I forget what ones I said already.
Yeah.
But I play... Just because I start to play one format doesn't mean that another format goes out the window.
Just means more decks you get to brew.
Exactly, and that's why Frontier's so fun, is because it's a brewer's paradise. Modern's fun because of the power level. And so there's just all these stupid fucking arguments going out there that people bitch about. And a lot of the MTG finance communities got varying opinions about all this. I'm cool, you know, whatever cards I had that were expensive, if they should go down, fucking go down, fucking crash, so we can get these cards in our hands and fucking play with.
It's kind of cool. Personally, like, the whole Frontier issue, for myself, I felt kind of, like, vindicated with, like, the majority, like, the main people who I follow and, like, whoever, like, more of, like, leaders of Magic community stuff are for Frontier.
Yeah.
So it just feels like vindicated, like, yeah, these are the people who I want to be following. These are the people who are good for Magic community. And sure enough, they're the ones who are, like, up for the Frontier format. And it's the assholes who I don't follow who are fucking the ones bitching about the shit.
I actually did follow one asshole who was very against Frontier just so I could talk shit to him on Twitter. And I've been having a lot of fun with that. Like, not even about Frontier, just about different things, about, like,
whatever you can grind him into it.
Yeah. Just a little stab wound here.
Yeah.
He had a tweet about, like, hey, what are MTGO tickets going for these days, like, you know, to the US dollar? And someone said, like, oh, they're going for like 90 cents or something. And then his next tweet was like, oh man, that couldn't be farther from the truth. They're like going for 93. And like, just the way he like put it was like, wait, you asked, and then when someone said something and then you researched and it's different from what you said, you're kind of an asshole about it? Like, is that how that works?
Why ask a question if you're just gonna go research and make sure they're right? Like, just go look for it the first time.
So I commented on it. Yeah. I was just like, you're a fucking asshole. How come you haven't blocked me yet, you fucking wiener? Because it's just a hate follow. That's all it is. It's a hate follow.
it's hate drafting for real life.
Guy's got a lot of hate in his life. I don't know what the hell's going on with that shit.
Anyways, so let's actually get to some of the cards.
Before we get into the cards itself, you're talking about, like, you think this is Wizards' big push and supporting Modern.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do see your side of it and can't agree with them giving us the reprints like this.
Right.
I do like that. I also kind of think that, like, it's showing that they are kind of stepping away from Modern because they're not getting any more coverage at all. But from there, I think I'd put money down that this is the last Modern Masters in the print, at least for years to come at the moment. I feel like this is the last blowout one right now, and they're giving us this awesome, like, this is the last Modern Masters. Here you go. Everything you've asked for. Holy shit, look at this set. That's my, I could be completely wrong, but I feel like there won't be, you know, Modern Masters the next time it would come out.
I mean, I can see that as well. I understand why they're quote unquote stepping away from Modern on a coverage standpoint, just because they want to sell whatever's in the current set. You know, they are a business, so promoting Standard, that makes sense.
Yeah, I get
the,
all that.
The Pro Tour isn't the professional tour. It's the promotional tour. Oh, they want to promote their new cards.
Read between the lines.
And so...
yeah, basically.
But I think there's still a lot to fucking reprint. I mean, you can still go back to different...
Oh, I agree. I'm not saying they couldn't. I'm just... This is my bet.
Yeah.
I feel like this is their blowout... This is our last head Modern Master we're going to get for some time to see. That's okay. My thought.
And before we actually get into the cards, I had asked you guys a question through text message earlier this week. I had asked, what cards specifically are you going after to buy singles of to, like, fulfill your playset? Basically, like...
Or hope to open if you buy a box or something.
I'm more interested in, like, buying the singles. Because opening is so random and whatever, but, like, if you're going out to buy the singles to complete a playset, what's your top three fucking cards?
What did I say?
That's a bit of a different question there. Yeah,
I thought the question was different, too, when you sent it. But it doesn't matter. We'll move on to that. So I think number one for all of us, right, or in the top three for all of us was fetches.
Yeah.
So it's because we all have playsets of the cons fetches, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we all have playsets of that, and now we have the opportunity to have playsets of these, what are the allied fetches or whatever.
No, I think
so,
like, between the three of us, we only have one of those, I believe, because you opened it, or did you sell it too?
No, I opened it and March I kept flats. It, and then I'm actually getting another one on Puka Trade.
Okay, so you're the one, you're going to have two of them from this cycle.
I don't even care if they fucking go down. Fucking go all the way down.
Whatever, you just want to playset of them.
Yeah, if they go down, I mean, they have gone down. Like, so that's one thing we'll get to, but prices for everything has already gone down. There's been, like... I guess you can call it, like, panic sale.
Yeah, there's always a mass exodus of anything like this.
Yeah.
But specifically the Modern Masters 3 versions.
Yes.
I mean, sure, the other ones are going down, but not as hard
and fast.
These
ones are crashing pretty fast. But, yeah, so there's the, you know, if you don't know.
Pre-order-wise?
If you don't know and you're not paying attention to what the new set is, they pre-printed Marsh Flats, Arid Mesa, Verdant Catacombs, Scalding Tarn, and Misty Rainforests. And so it's all the five that were not printed in Cons. And Cons was, like, Cons of Tarkir was amazing when they printed that out. We're like, oh, my God, this is... They have the fetches, and we've all wanted the fetches, and, you know, we were still new-ish players at the time, and it was super exciting to get our hands on something that...
It was perfect time for me, because I just got an M15 and just started learning and seeing, like, and you described me why they were so good. And so I was, like, already going to be buying extra boxes because it was my next, like, newest set to me. And, like, the second set after my M15, because that was almost over when I got into it.
Yeah.
And so I was already going to be buying multiple boxes, but then it added super bonus for me that I bought, like, probably five boxes of Cons of Tarkir, because I ended up with, like, multiple, like, play set and then extras that I've traded away and things like that of the fucking fetches and things. So it was good for me.
And also, let me just say that when we came into Magic, it was between Gatecrash and M15. So, like, Modern was already starting to pick up. Prices were already starting to pick up. And it was already out of our price range, and it was intimidating just because we didn't know the cards. Yeah. Not necessarily because of the price alone, just because we didn't know the cards.
We weren't learned enough in the game to understand why you'd
go into this format. So, by the time we wanted to get into Modern, Modern was already peaking in price. Mm-hmm. So, there was that barrier to entry. Sure, we were picking up pieces slowly, but we couldn't just go out and drop, you know, whatever amount of money on a Modern deck like we could, like, you know, a standard deck of today, which is like $200, which is relatively cheap in the whole scheme of things. So for us, players like us, this Modern Masters is amazing.
Oh,
it is exactly what we needed. It's exactly what we wanted.
My nipple's been hard for like 2 weeks.
So if someone who's been, like, you know, hoarding cards since 95 or someone who's in MTG Finance might have a different opinion, but from people who are playing very casually, but we still want to make competitive decks, this set is perfect for us.
So we, on to your question, basically, we have talked about the fetches, and then each of us have like two other ones. And I would say, as far as play sets go, fetches would be the number one thing. I would say Cavern of Souls is probably number two, a playset of that, so just basically lands. And then the last thing, if I really wanted a play set of something, I would have to say, man, it's tough. I mean, maybe I would probably say Snapcaster if I have to say a playset.
Okay.
The thing is, it's kind of hard because when I first heard the question, I was thinking more like just one ofs and what you open up. Yeah, and I think that
I've read it as that way as well. Like what you're hoping to open up in your packs.
Yeah.
So okay, I did frame it a bit differently when I texted you guys what I meant to say, which I put a poll up on Twitter about it. Like what playsets do you want to purchase?
We could say basically both of them. I mean, I would say that I would want Liliana as a one of, like to throw in Tiny Leaders.
Right.
You know, and Snapcaster is also would be fine as a one of, so for Tiny Leaders. And then the fetches are a big thing. And then other one-ofs would be like, you know, just Damnation, maybe Blood Moon, Tarmogoyf, and Goblin Guide are probably like the ones that I want just a one-of as well. Like I don't need like...
What about for like a modern deck? Like what are you looking to get a playset of for a modern deck? There we go. That's
yeah, I mean Snapcaster is number one for modern decks then.
Okay.
I think Snapcaster's got to be number one for a playset.
Do you have a deck in mind, or would you just?
I just think that if you're playing blue and Snapcaster's amazing, you know, it opens up a lot. Yeah. You know, besides that, like I'm not really going to be playing Goblin Guide in Modern, so I want one of for my Tiny Leaders deck, gotcha. But I don't want anything more than that. Not that I don't want it, but I mean I don't need it. Inquisition of Kozilek would be amazing as well, but I don't need those as well. I have four of those.
Right.
Path to Exile, I have three of. It'd be nice to open up some more of those to have where I don't have to move them around decks because they're going to be played in. Pretty much anything. So, I mean, I think that Path to Exile is a super important reprint.
Oh, yeah, let those fucking tank in price. Just tank away.
Yeah, a little bit, huh?
What about you, Crow?
I mean, if I didn't already have the playset of Liliana Veil, because I put a lot of effort into getting that, I'd be stoked to try to get, you know, that'd be my main thing no matter what to go for. Mm-hmm. And I'm still like, I'd like to pull her because I'd still love, I mean, I of the four Lilianas I have, I did actually pull one from a pack, and it was just like this euphoric, amazing feeling of, oh my god. It's like when I opened up the Tarmogoyfs in this first five packs, I opened two Tarmogoyfs of the last Modern Masters, like Jesus. So, like, from there, like, fetches, obviously. I think that can, like, kind of wipe up the board. Like, everybody here wants a place out of that. I want Cavern of Souls. I like playing elves, and Cavern of Souls would be fantastic for that. As far as completing a playset, I already have the two Tarmogoyfs. I'd like to get the other two one, even though, like, you know, they're not seeing much play now, but whatever. I like the ability to play them if I wanted to.
I think so, too. I think that Tarmogoyf's still very important. And if you're, like, you know, I like Collected Company, I'd probably play Collected Company in Modern, which I do with Zombies. But, I mean, in another deck style, I mean, Tarmogoyf's just really versatile, and I think that's super important. Same thing with Snapcaster. They're just, certain decks are just nice to just, you can just throw four in and then build the deck in a special way, but there's just some creatures that are better than others, and that's it, so.
Yeah.
Blood Moon, though, man. What up? Blood
Moon's a that's the thing. Like, I want one of those too, because like, there's been a couple of decks I've built that like I've seen other iterations, and like, that's just a good sideboard card for those particular decks. But like, for our playgroup, I hope none of us gets that and plays it.
No, I know. It's just I know, but I want to.
I know.
I mentioned it in like the Tiny Leaders. I'm like, is it okay to play Blood Moon? And everyone's kind of like. I don't know. Me too. I'm like, I don't know. That's fair. It's kind of shitty.
Dick
like,
move, bro.
Yeah, just it's not fun because we play casually, and if the other your opponent can't play, it's just a lockout. Like, if you got silence on Ice Crown Scepter, we're like, I don't know if we want to play. Like, it's not fun anymore.
And Tiny Leaders, no, but like Modern, fuck it, you know.
Yeah, and that's different. And there's different more options, things you're building around, things you can try. You know.
So what do you got, Knife? What are your
tops? So obviously, my first and foremost is four Lilianas. I have zero, and I need four to complete my fucking 8-rack deck. So
I have felt pretty good about holding my Lilianas over you for some time.
Yeah.
So, like, I really do hope you pull them, yeah. But there's, like, a deep-seated, like, I want you to pull zero and me pull one and have so much training power over you, it's ridiculous.
So, you know what's funny about Liliana is that when they announced her for the set, Star City Games the next day had her for $59.99 on their website.
Nice.
And I was like, ooh, like that might be bottom or below bottom. Like, you don't know. You have an idea that prices generally are cut by 50%, but you're like, man, that's day one and it's already 60 instead of 95, whatever. Yeah. Like, wow, that's pretty good, Star City. Like, nice job. I even like TCG Player right now, I think it's still around 70.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if SCG's like moved their price up or not, but that first day I was like, ooh, fuck.
I mean, once packs start to become opened, and I think, so what I've heard, and I'm not a scientist.
Yes, you are. I mean, you don't need to be a scientist to say what you're going to say, but yes, you are a scientist.
What
anyways.
I hear from multiple finance personalities and just kind of it makes sense is the floor for this set is going to be around the time of Amonkhet spoilers. Because attention, there's going to be lots of packs opened, and the attention is going to start to pull away from that and go to Amonkhet. So really pay attention. Play pay close attention to like a week before that, and you know, till Amonkhet comes out.
Yeah, it makes sense. It totally makes sense that that would be a good piece of financial advice.
But then, I mean, then again, who knows? You know, this is almost unprecedented reprints and stuff incredible. Like that, so we don't know. My second playset I want to pull is Goblin Guides, so I can put them in my modern burn deck. I mean, it's pretty much going to be my modern burn deck, but it's
the one you're supposedly building a fiance.
Yeah, for my quote fiance. Unquote. I fucking hate saying fiance. Yeah, it's such it's so awkward. Annoying. For
God my damn girl, French.
For my woman. for my gash. No.
Wow.
Yeah. I took it too far.
Yes, you did.
What was it earlier for your slit?
Yeah. Oh, that's my slit. Yeah.
Sperm dumpster. So, God. Cock receptacle. Cockle screw. Anyways, now we're moving on.
Really want the Goblin Guides for that. And of course, fetches, because fetches enable me to make other decks in modern.
Yeah, I think I have to prioritize that. One ofs for everything is going to be fine for me, I think, generally. I just think I need 20 fetches and 4 Cavern of Souls so is what's going to happen. I know, but I think that's what the whole goal of this is to open up those. And then I'm okay if I, by the end of the year, basically have one Snap, one Liliana, one Tarmogoyf, and just like be fine with that. And
what about Damnation? Are you not excited? So
for me, like I think I have, you know, getting on it before you went over. I believe I have 2 Snapcaster Mages. I want to finish out my playset of that, and I bought the 1 Full Art Damnation, which I'm stoked about. And from there, like I don't see you playing a deck before that, but I'd still like to have a playset if I wanted to play 4 of them. Because that seems like a little bit over the top, probably, but like I'd love to pull 3 of them.
There's not many decks that play it, and if it is, it's like a 1, maybe a 2 of in the exactly. sideboard. Like there's some modern mill decks that play it in the sideboard, and I don't know. I just rather get like the playset of the full arts. Like
you mean the fetches?
No, the full art damnation.
Oh yeah. I'd love
they're
to.
Probably
have that
not going
to
go down by it.
Yeah, those aren't. They're barely going to get hit by it.
Agreed. Like I'd love to have a place for those, but like at the same time, I bought the one that I needed to have at least one of those. That's such a fucking epic, awesome card.
Yeah.
But I don't see myself, at least not for some time, like I'm talking like 5 years of time, buying the other 3 of those.
Yeah.
So if I pull these for now, I'm excited about it.
A lot of people have been talking about Damnation and that what it does isn't that unique. And what it's used in isn't 4 ofs. So the reason it's so fucking expensive, because even just the regular ones were going for like what, like 50 bucks or something like that. It's more of like there's a mystery about it. It hasn't been reprinted in so long that it's almost like there's a lore about it. It's more about the story.
Oh, there has been a build of like why this hasn't this been reprinted.
It's been
like
a build up, but now that you look at it, it's like, okay, well, they don't play 4 ofs in modern. Sure, you need a 1 of for your commander deck. Really, I think this price is just going to tank. Like, people are talking about, like, $10 Damnation. I'm like,
play it on, please.
Because, I mean, it's a rare, and like we said, this set is going to be printed pretty heavily. So, yeah, I would love, like, even just, like, a $20 Damnation.
So, as
like
you this. Say that, you know what this reminds me of is Eternal Masters, where Eternal Masters has cards like Berserk and stuff like that just hasn't been printed in fucking forever.
Yeah.
Berserk now is, like, $9, and it was, like, near $100.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is insane, but it's because it wasn't really played, like you're saying. It's not like it's some popular card.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been printed in forever, and there's just no availability for it, but it's not like everyone needs 4 of those.
Yeah.
You know, but it's only for Infect, really. I mean, I don't even know what else plays it. That's the reason I only have 1 copy, is because for Infect, or I guess for the Cube now, but still, it's one of those cards that it fucking tanked. It could basically be free at this point because there's so many available and not enough people even play that card enough to use it. But it is still, you know, holding some price tag because it's Mythic Rare and, you know, whatever. I'm sure people just enjoy owning the card that was once $95, $100. So.
Right.
Crazy fucking card now. And that's when you look at other prices of Eternal Masters, so many of those cards in the same way that just – they weren't all-stars. They weren't played 4 of and they weren't the most sought-after things, but – besides, like, Force of Will, you know what I mean? That the prices have gone down so much, and they're going to stay for a while. They will go up back up a little bit, but, like, There will not be a $60 card that went down to 20 that will now be 60 again, unless it's really, really breakout. Like, once the supply is up, it's that's just it. It's $20 card now. It wasn't the true price until it got the proper reprint. You know?
Especially for like that, you know, Eternal Masters being more geared towards legacy stuff, where you're not getting a bunch of people joining legacy now. Like, that's still not a fucking real thing. It's still like that didn't break the barrier of entry into it, because the main thing is the lands and mana costs and things like that. There are still thousands of dollars to fucking complete. So, I mean, from there, it's just, I don't know, man. I forgot my point.
Perfect.
Well, hopefully Damnation goes down.
The point was, though, from there, the cards you're then people are picking up are more for EDH, and you're not needing playsets. So there's much more availability, so things are going to be cost less for that situation.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be as drastic with the Modern Masters, because there's tons of people who play Modern still. But I do obviously agree that it's going to drop down a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, the demand for it does not justify the price, especially with this printing. So
other cards we got. I want to run through some of them.
Yeah,
Voice of
Resurgence, Mythic Rare from Dragon's Maze. The only important card from that.
I hate playing those two colors, but I want that card.
So what I was thinking was boxes of sets obviously fluctuate in value, but they still have to kind of maintain some value. So since this card is going down in price, like what else in the set is kind of soaking up some
talking
of that
about
price?
Gate Crash?
Yeah, Bet Call. That's it. That's it, dude.
I mean, I guess like the
they're gonna print the token, which is expensive in this set, I'm sure.
Yeah, that you know token was. So that token I traded was that off for some cards.
$7 or something. Yeah. Like the token's super expensive for Voice of Resurgence. So now we have that getting reprinted, which nobody. That's funny because I never even thought about that till now, and nobody's talking about it, but it's just like that 2020 Merit Lage thing getting printed again. Like, that's a big talking point, that a token that people want that you need multiple of to even have in a proper deck, because it makes multiple tokens if it, you know, at certain points.
Well, until that next printing of Young Pyromancer and then the printing of the Red Elementals, each one of those was $3 a piece.
You know what I mean?
And now there's still a dollar. Yeah, really? The Red Elementals
were, yeah.
They were $3 a piece. Now they're still $1 a piece.
I wish I would have sold those motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah. I only own like two.
I didn't own any until I finally bought some at the $3 a piece, because I was so tired. And then they got reprinted. I bought like two. But yeah. I was just tired of like using some other non-actual token card for it. I'm a fan of using the right tokens.
I mean, there's some stuff in the set that's not even, I mean, I guess very outlandish, tier 3-4. So like Xur the Enchanter. I know there was a deck kind of running around on the outskirts that was playing Xur and stuff like that.
Didn't MTG Goldfish just make a video on Xur for Modern?
He did.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I actually just picked up a Judge Foil, which is so sexy for my EDH deck, but I still like the original art, just the kooky looking art.
Did you guys watch the new Seance Modern video?
Yes, I did.
Holy fuck, that looks fun to play.
So Seance, well, it's in the set, and it's going to be no money at all, even if like this set, if this a deck like this breaks out. But Seance, if you don't know, because I didn't know, reads. So it is enchantment for 2 and white, 4 mana. At the beginning of each upkeep, you may exile target creature card from your graveyard. If you do, create a token that's a copy of that card, except it's a spirit in addition to its other types. Exile it at the beginning of the next end step. So it doesn't have like haste or nothing like that, but Saffron Olive played a deck that like filled his graveyard with a bunch of cards and was able to like Eternal Witness get that back, Eternal Witness to get another card back to his hand, and then he would play that card, and eventually it would die, and then it'd go in the graveyard, but then he'd like Eternal Witness again, and it'd just be like this back and forth where this card sounds like you use it once and then it's gone, just something like Whip of Erebos or something like that, where like, yeah, it's got some value, but once you run out of creatures, then like what's
the thing? It also doesn't give the creatures haste either.
It doesn't give them haste, like you can't even attack them. Some of them come on your opponent's turn because it's the beginning of each upkeep. But end of the battlefield effects aplenty, and being able to refill your graveyard like all the time. He said in every single match he played that if he played Seance and they didn't do anything about it, it was unbeatable.
And watching it, it was incredible. It was so much fun to watch him.
And this card is a penny now, and it's getting reprinted at rare, so people are like, that's the worst rare to open, basically, in the whole set. That's like the joke of Modern Masters 3, is that you're going to open Seance and have the feel bads, for sure. But this card,
send all your seances to Ryan Bouchard at formerly Brainstorm Brewery fame. He collects them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this is the card that has lore behind it on the community level.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so, you haven't heard this story?
No, I don't know the story.
You know what? You want to get into it a little bit? Or just let it go?
Nah, he likes the card.
Well, it was that, but then there was another thing, because it wasn't that card, or it was a different one where somebody actually put a bounty on them to go to, like, the Star City, like, fucking, like...
Oh, to hit, like, a top eighter with it or something
no,
like
no,
that?
No, no, to go to the store, buy out every single card, and literally rip them up and set them on fire.
I think, yeah, that might have been Seance.
I believe
also.
It was Seance. So they were trying to, like buy out the stock anybody had. So, like, they were, like, half pissed at the card and half, like, they specced on them, so they had a bunch of them themselves. So they wanted to, like, burn the rest of the fucking Seances around. And people, like, they put bounties on people to destroy every Seance they could find and go to storage and buy the Seances to destroy them so that their Seances would go up in price.
I mean, that's kind of...
But there was never a demand.
Okay, I'm gonna run through. No, that's actually the wrong deck. Okay, hold on a second. You guys, it's right here. Four color Seance. Okay, so let me give you the deck list because it is kind of awesome.
Oh, it was so much fun to watch.
Seder Wayfinder, four of, right? End of the battlefield, you mill four cards and you put a land in your hand or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then you have Wall of Omens, 0-4 draws you a card. Eternal Witness is a four of, gets you any card back from the graveyard to your hand. And this is the crazy one, Fulminator Mage. So Fulminator Mage, if you have Eternal Witness or whatever going on, then you're able to play Fulminator Mage and then, like, sack it, destroy one of their lands, and then you can, like, Eternal Witness it back, and then you just do this whole, like, loop over and over again of playing, like, unlimited, like, not unlimited, but you get to play, like,
I think he literally played in two games, he played a Fulminator Mage seven times or something
yes.
like that. And, like, at one point he played it, sacked it, witnessed it, played it, sacked it, witnessed it, and then seanced it. And just took his guy had like, you know, went from four lands
He's
down to
Scape
one.
Shift, which He's is like Scape all about Shift. Lands. Yeah. And he just destroyed him so bad.
So fully.
So there's that. There's one Kitchen
Don't
Finks.
Don't watch his videos. It's so good.
One Kitchen Finks, one Restoration Angel, three Siege Rhino, and the battlefield is real sweet on that one. Two Shriek Maw, and the battlefield kills a creature. Mold Drifter, draw two cards, end of the battlefield. Then it has three paths, three Thought Seizes, three Commune with the Gods, which fills up your graveyard, and one Wrath of God, and then also one for fun, Doubling Season. And Doubling Season would make two tokens, double enter battlefield effect, kind of like a win more card, but when you watch the games, it's fucking gross, man.
Yeah,
it's super gross.
He originally played the Double Season because he thought when the token would come back, that when it made the second token would stay, but it actually doesn't.
Right. But still.
But he still gets
it's still double effect. Double
said,
Eternal Witness, dude.
It essentially comes down to like one mana more costing Panamonicon, and it really only doubles the bonus for the Fulminator Mage. So really you could play Panamonicon
just
on a double
turn. Filling your graveyard and then just being able to abuse Eternal Witness so many times. You get to play four. Let's just say you have all four and you're playing them out or whatever. They go to the graveyard. You get to cast each one with Seance. That's four more. You have eight Eternal Witnesses, basically, and you get to just go ahead and rally all these fucking creatures. It gets absurd, man. The games were awesome, so really, really good. Oh, yeah, remember that card we were talking about was Surgical Extraction.
Right.
Yeah, I forgot about that card. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. Yeah, so what else we got? What other things we're talking about here? Other cards besides Seance, stupid Seance.
I mean, like, even in the uncommon slot, there's just Ghast, Lingering Souls, Path to Exile,
Vampire Nighthawk.
Oh, yeah, dude, people get so mad when they lose to that in Modern. Oh, they get salty.
So, Serum Vision's got another reprint, which is just fine. It's like the best Good. Cantrip, so like, keep going, you know what I mean?
That's new the only art, cantrip well. They'll give us.
Yeah, new art for Lingering Souls, I believe. Or
Kraken Hatchling, that's always good.
Okay, Might of Old Krosa. That card is a card that I refuse to buy for my Infect deck, Tiny Leaders, because it was an uncommon, or maybe even a common at the time, I don't remember what it was, and it was like $10. For one pump spell, +4/+4. I was like, I'm not paying $10 for a pump spell. And now that it's going to be reprinted, that it's going to be like under a dollar. I'm super stoked to actually have this card that I could have had, but you just value your money in certain ways. You're like, I don't want to pay. I'll pay that for a path. I'm not going to pay that for a pump spell that like is essentially the same. It's replaceable. Where some other effects are not replaceable, this is a replaceable effect, I feel like. So even though it is strong.
I like the reprinting of Spell Pierce in here.
Yeah, absolutely. Spell Pierce is not expensive, but like, yeah, if I can get a playset super easy and just have it in the collection. I only have one now, so Love to have more of that.
Fucking Abrupt Decay.
Yeah, I was looking at that one.
Abrupt Decay is
Twisted Relation.
We're getting great reprint.
Oh shit, Rice on a Wet Himself. Domri Raid's back.
Oh,
nobody
yeah.
Nobody plays it.
It's so weird.
We need to like text him right now, let him know. Have him call into the cast.
They have Pilfered Plans in here. That's just a weird, like...
Pilfered
Plans? You draw two, they mill two. This is just weird.
Doesn't fit.
Well, you know what? They have your favorite card. Soul Ransom is in this set at Uncommon.
Oh, yeah. Soul Ransom,
yeah,
baby.
Soul Ransom is... Yeah, you know what that is. How about Is It Charm? Is It Charm's a good reprint?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, I like that they reprint the Signets.
Signets,
yeah, they're actually
good.
Like a dollar a piece, so...
Yeah. I just actually ordered like five of them. And then they came out like the next couple days that they reprint them. Fuck it, whatever.
I'm really happy they're reprinting Gravedigger's Cage because that's like a sideboard card in so many modern decks, but I don't want to spend like this. I think it's like $7 on it, and I just don't want to do it.
And now it's like nothing.
But now it's like, fuck yeah, and I can draw it.
So, yeah, that one also, what is it? It's Basilic Caller. One mana artifact, and then it's equipped to give a creature death, touch, and lifelink. And that card spiked like fucking crazy when the new construct dude came out, the ballista guy, whatever.
Oh, geez. Right, because you can just machine gun.
Everything, and it has lifelink, and it has death touch, and everything just dies like instantly. So that card went to like over $20, and so now it's not. Now it's like down to $4 or something like that. But I was like, holy crap, that was a good reprint. Also, probably they didn't know that was going to happen, but.
I think it was like $10 before it spiked, though, so it was still an expensive card.
Yeah, that was a good one, though.
Every time I see this card, I laugh. It's a Gift of Orzhova.
Those rainbow wings?
You know, this chick I know on Facebook, like, posts... I guess she found that picture somewhere, not knowing it's a Magic card, and posted it, and then posted, like, you know, like, some hippie rave shit, like, I am of the earth, and, like, spread your wings and fly, and, like, you know, all this, like... That pseudo fucking crap.
Hippie bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. And then I just posted in the links. I'm like, oh yeah, it also gives you +1/+1 flying and lifelink. Like, you dumb bitch, you don't even know. Anyways.
So, that's fucking gash.
Boros Reckoner.
Boros Reckoner, I don't need that to be reprinted because I have a playset and it's never gone up. I've been waiting for that to go back up. So, okay.
Coiling Oracle, baby.
Coiling
Oracle. That fucking Snake Elf Druid is a fantastic card.
Always good in draft,
man.
So
good.
So, here's another thing about this set. They have done something that I have not seen before. I'm guessing you guys haven't either. They shifted rarities like fucking crazy. So, I have like a list that I'm not going to go through everything, but they shifted things from even from rare down to common, which is fucking insane. What's that?
Which one went from rare to common?
Rare to common was, let's see here. Mortician Beetle. Beetle was like a 1/1 for one for black or whatever.
Whenever you put a sacrifice as a creature, you may put a 1/1 counter on a Mortician Beetle. That was a rare?
Yeah, it was a rare in Rise of the Eldrazi. Yeah, and now it is a common, which is crazy. But they downshifted like so much shit. There are, I think, like 25 things that moved from uncommon to common, which is insane.
Spell Pierce.
Then they moved a bunch of shit. There's a lot of shit that actually went from common to uncommon, including all the Signets were common. Now they're not. They're uncommon. But there's a ton of stuff in here that like got rare shifted down. There are like 7 cards that went from rare to uncommon. There are 3 cards that went from mythic down to rare. And then there's 2 cards that went from rare to mythic, which is Snapcaster and Cavern of Souls. But,
It's unfortunate.
A lot of stuff got shifted. But just seeing that one card that went from rare to common, I've never seen that before. That's pretty fucking crazy. But, yeah, there's a lot of movement. So it opens up, like, Burning Tree Emissary into Pauper. Like, that's a crazy card to have something now. Like, Pauper is, like, shaken up, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's a lot of stuff like that in here that if you're interested in playing Pauper... shit gets fucking twisted. You know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff that hopefully we'll be creating some new decks and all that stuff. So that's pretty exciting. Magma Jet, uncommon to common. Damn good spell. 2 damage, scry 2. It's good shit. So, yeah. A lot of stuff.
Scavenging Ooze.
Terminus.
The Angels.
Yeah, those are not shifted.
I know, I'm just bringing up other cards again. It's just...
Yeah, you are. Confusing everybody. Only me, actually.
They
stopped
listening to you.
Oh, man, come on. Man, bro, come on.
So what are some of the, like, silliest arguments, like, against this set that you've heard?
I haven't really heard too much. I just voiced my opinion once, basically, on Twitter.
I need you to get angry.
I don't have any anger. No. People want to bitch, then they can be. I don't know. I don't have anything. So you guys.
I saw someone posting, like, before all the spoilers were out, it was like 3 days in, a bunch of amazing stuff already there. People were like, oh my God, they're giving us so much. This is insane. Like, they're giving us everything. Like, how could you be mad at this set? And some asshole responds with, easy, no Serum Visions. Next day, Serum Visions spoiler. I went back, yeah, fuck you.
How do you guys think about Tarma Wife getting reprinted? That was a surprise, right? The
third time.
So
that was a big surprise to me. I did not rule it out. Like, I was not in the ballpark of, like, this is not going to get reprinted. I did not think that. But I was, when I saw it on, like, day five or whatever, I was like, oh, shit, they actually did it. That's crazy.
I mean, I didn't think they were going to reprint it for the third time.
Yeah, the second time I wasn't that surprised by, because it was so... such an anger level of a thing of people not getting enough from the first Modern Masters and wanting Dwarfs to be a thing. And so I wasn't surprised it was reprinted again. Like, but that was still kind of like, they actually did it. This time, I wasn't on my radar at all for a reprint. I think there was a shot they were going to do that.
I heard somebody say that, like, Tarmogoyf is, like, the thermometer for how Modern's doing. You know, if it's, like, you know, ridiculously expensive, then, like, obviously people are still playing it, you know? And then if it's ridiculously cheap, then people aren't playing Modern. So obviously, if it's, like, you know, at least comes down to, like, the $60 range, then
I think right now it's still in, like, the 80s. I think it's around 85 or something.
And
like
it was
right
down
now
to, like, 95 before it was spoiled, and previously had been upwards of,
it could be in, like, the high 70s, but I don't think it's below. I think that's still the most expensive. Around, I think it's around $80, I think, I'm pretty sure. But anyways,
it must have been 150. Then the last reprint brought down to, like, more range, like 120. And then before this reprint was shown here, it already been dropping down to, like, 95.
You know, the bitch whore that was next to me at GP Vegas opened up two of them, and she looks over at me, and she's like, "So are we allowed to drop out to keep the cards? Because you have to, like, open up a box and then, like,
draft.
You have to open up the packs and then write everything down and then pass all the cards to your right."
Yeah.
Or whatever.
You don't actually get the draft out of your first.
You don't actually
backyard,
get draft. Yeah, you have to, like, mark them down so that, like, everyone, nobody's cheating, basically. And so, we're like, you can drop out, like, right now, and then you get to keep all your stuff, and then that's it. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. And then she starts packing up shit. So I'm like, okay, so what did you get that was so good? And she's like, I got two Tarmogoyfs. Just like a little Asian girl. I'm like, oh my God.
No excitement level in her voice from
it. Okay, how about this? What if she was, like, down to win? Those were my packs. She was passing to the right. That would have been mine. If she was, like, in the mode where, like, I came here to play, I didn't come here to make money, and she was one of those competitive players, I would have had two fucking Tarmogoyfs. But she, of course, she packed that shit up and left right away. I was like, what? That's crazy. I got nothing. I got a Cryptic Command, and that's it. That's what I opened up. So, and then I sold it that day for $30. I basically traded it
for your sword?
No, for Conclave. Celestial.
Ah, yes.
Whatever it is. The fucking
Colonnade.
Colonnade. Celestial Colonnade. There you go. Conclave. Colonnade. Got a promo one.
Promo one.
Yeah. And then that spiked to $50 and I sold it. So, yeah. Anyways. I don't know. The rest of the set, I mean, looks fantastic, but I'm not, like, super stoked to, like, you know, make money off a lot of this stuff. Like, Mizzium Mortars is cool, and, you know,
Cyclonic Rift.
Cyclonic Rift is cool. Scavenging Muse is cool. Thrag Test is cool. There's a lot of cool cards that I open up and I go, damn, I got to copy this. That's awesome. You're another copy, you know? But there are a lot of cards that I'm not totally thrilled with. Even if they're a few bucks, I'm not really too excited about some of this. Like, Past in Flames is cool. I don't actually really care about Past in Flames, you know? Even though I do play it in Commander, I'm not really one of those players, and I don't think Storm's, you know, the best. It's not really up my alley. Craterhoof, same thing. Like, Craterhoof is dope, but I'm not an elf
Storm's
player.
Storm's
and
also
are.
Been unofficially banned from our playgroup, because I built Waste Not Storm. And granted, like, the Storm is very difficult to learn how to play. Like, it takes a minute to understand the pathways. And so, like, I'm already a little bit slower of a player compared, you know, in our group here. And so me playing Waste Not Storm, like, you guys were like, okay, this is turning into your 10-minute turn. We're going to go off and win. I'm going to walk away and do nothing. And it became like a... Not like a, you
we'd
can't play this deck anymore.
No, no, we'd let you play it, but yeah, it was
like
that.
It became like, you're bummed to play against with it, and I don't like, I want to make you sad and salty while I'm playing you, but I don't want you to not want to play against a deck.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. We were like, we kind of frowned upon.
That's kind of like our feeling of, like, Blood Moon in our play group.
We frown upon,
feeling of, like,
infinite combos and stuff like that that just, like, freezes the player out of stuff. Like, you can do whatever you want here, and we're not going to like tell you necessarily no a lot of the time. But you know, we all know each other really well here, and we just know that we want to play nothing with infinite combos. We're not playing.
Well, when someone's like taking 10 minutes for their turn,
yeah, that's bad.
It's like, well, why even fucking play this
game? We felt bad about like Reich, because that was Reich's last deck that he played with us was a Storm Commander deck, and it was insanely good. And
honestly,
but we had to just tell him, like, yeah, dude, this is like,
it's too much.
Turn eight, you just win, and like, there's no interaction.
And the
you're
only
not
reason he didn't live
game
every time of those because none of us wanted to kill him off, because he literally never had creatures in the field, and he didn't have like kill spells or things really going on.
No, he had
so he had bounce effects. He had things he should survive on. But if we chose to kill him, he'd be dead by turn six every game. And like, there's plenty of times he's down to like 12 life, and we're all like, okay, well, we're gonna back off and let him have a chance now.
And then,
the next turn, it's like, okay, now he wins.
Yes, exactly. That's unfortunate that he has no interaction. Like, you want to play a back and forth game, even if one deck's stronger, that's okay. But you just want to make sure that like we have a chance, we're having fun. Yeah, Storm is kind of rough. Same thing with like if we were playing the like infinite life, infinite damage Coco deck in Modern. You know what
yeah
I mean? Like that, like the kind of birthing pod one. You know, like we can't play that. We can even if someone wanted to play it, they can go ahead. But we would want them, and they would do it because we all knew each other. That you just need to go ahead and take out like the combo piece and make sure you can have like pretty ridiculous stuff go on, but not you slam a card and then it's like you see what happened. Okay, win. Like Shaheely Rai,
yeah,
Splinter Twin, like that kind of shit. Just not.
Yeah, if you want to, like, if all three of us are going to the tournament, yeah, bring whatever fucking deck you want. If we're going to Friday Night Magic or whatever. But, like, yeah, if we're playing in the garage, it's like, dude, I took time out of my day to watch you fucking go off for, like, 15 minutes. I could have been, like, fucking...
I could have masturbated while you were masturbating yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, one of the arguments that I've heard is that, like, somebody's saying, like, oh, hey, check out this card. It's in the rare slot. Like, oh, the rare slot is just packed full of value. And then someone's saying, like, oh, well, you mean by value, do you mean these cards are just going to tank super hard? It's like, yeah, some of these cards are going to tank super hard, and they're not going to bounce back to what they were. You know, so if a card's at $10, it bounces all the way down to $3, it comes back up to $6 eventually, and that's where it's going to stay, just because of how the market works.
Math.
Yeah, because of math. And then there's some cards that are maybe like Goblin Guide, where it's like was like what, like $30 or something, yeah, like that. It might just go down to 10 and then forever be at 10. Like, who knows?
Especially this particular artwork on this copy, people aren't very happy with.
Yeah.
So I think I mentioned something about that earlier this cast, that there's not, some of those cards don't have correct pricing yet. It's not that the card was once expensive and that was the correct price. The correct price is what it is now. It's just that Berserk, the correct price wasn't $100. That wasn't what the card should have been at. Once you have a decent amount of fulfillment for that card, then the market adjusts, and then now there's the correct
pricing
for a card.
Realistic
price. Yeah. And that, well, I call it correct. I want to be firm with that, actually. I think that it's like certain cards, like Cavern of Souls or Fetchlands or whatever, should never be super cheap because they are widely demanded and they are amazing cards, and they're not, you can't replace them with Evolving Wilds. Like, there's some cards like that. But
right.
And same thing with like Path and Swords, you can print those all day long, but you're not going to be able to get them down to $1 because the card is that important. And there's going to be a true price no matter how much you print it into the fucking ground. It's going to retain a certain price. But Berserk and Show and Tell and other cards like that, they just weren't correct pricing yet. They were just at an inflated price because of demand. I'm sorry, because of supply, but not even because of demand,
right,
necessarily. And now when some of these cards come down and, you know, a certain card in this Modern Master set has been reprinted the correct number of times, or whatever you want to call it, maybe Damnation now, the correct price, like you were saying, it's not like it's even played that much.
Yeah.
Now we will have the price for it.
It's a price correction.
Yeah. So that's what I feel, at least.
And like, also, like, some of these are going to rebound, some of them aren't. If they're staples, like a lot of these are, they're going to rebound some. They can't stay down forever. Once this set has been printed into the ground and it's 10 years later, you know, granted, they don't see other reprints, like, these cards are going to bounce back up. Maybe not to their former glory, but we don't give a fuck because we're not, like, MTG financiers.
Yeah.
But to say that they're not full of value, it's like they're full of playability value for the players. So to say that, like, oh, the rare slot's not full of value because they're all just going to fucking tank, it's full of value because it's going to bring people into the format. It's going to bring us more into modern. We're going to build more modern decks because we're actually getting our hands on the cards when they're fucking cheap.
So here's the thing. Don't buy booster packs because of financial value. No matter what, that's just the end of it. Like, nobody should be out there cracking open boosters to make money. You can have chances at that and, like, better odds because of a set like this, but you should do the other thing and just buy singles. And so that argument goes out the window as far as, like, the value, you know, the rare slot's not good enough. It's like, yeah, then you go ahead and take advantage of the other part of it, the other half of it, and you go ahead and buy all the singles that are now half off,
yeah,
rather than relying on the lottery part of it.
Right.
And that's it. And then so it's not saying, how can you say it's not an advantage? You know, it's totally an advantage. You just, you want cards, and you go ahead and buy them for half price. That's it. You don't have
it's
to,
only
like,
not
lottery
if you have these cards already, and now you're like, oh, blah. But if you already have these cards and you're playing with them, who gives a shit they're $10,000 or $10? If you're playing with the cards in your deck and you're playing having fun with it, what the fuck's the difference?
So I like financial, like, I like specking on cards, you guys too, but yeah. I like specking on cards. You know, I have the storefront for TCG Player or whatever. If card goes down because reprinted, what am I going to do about that? I'm not going to feel bad about that. Like, I still want the card or whatever. I shouldn't be, you know, holding 50 cards of something hoping it goes up. And if I'm punished for that, that's like the market. That's like the whole game
that's,
you play.
Yeah,
like,
that's the game you play.
So who cares? Like, I can't get mad about cards that I have just, like, being worth nothing. I shouldn't have gambled with a card like that. And unless I was really, really sure then of something, some kind of, I don't know, some things you just know, like the Eldrazi Winter thing, I was like, well, this is feels obvious. But there are certain things that you just don't do, and, like, it's not a good idea to invest in Magic that way. You shouldn't be picking up 20 copies of some stuff, you know, unless you just know that, just like in Vegas, that money is already gone, and you can only, you can have hopes, but you can't be mad if the slot machine took your money. That's the whole point of the slot machine being there, so.
Yeah, you can't get mad at Wizards for not reprinting shit for the longest time. Like, what was the biggest fucking reprint they did in the past however long? Thoughtseize? Like, that was the biggest for, like,
modern? Wise?
Yeah, like, Fetchlands, Thoughtseize.
Fetchlands and Thoughtseize.
Yeah.
So those were the big ones from a modern perspective.
Yeah.
And then they kind of backed off, and that was showing us that they weren't willing to warp standard like that to put out reprints. And then so we started to get the hint that they were putting reprints in other products, hence conspiracy and this and that. And it's like, if you know, if you're in the finance section of Magic the Gathering, you should be weary of, like, what's coming up next.
Which means you should have planned ahead, thinking, like, okay, these are the cards we're probably going to reprint. I should sell these off now.
Yeah.
And you held on to them, hoping they wouldn't get reprinted, and, like, Super Spike, like some of the cards are now.
So, like, basically,
you guys, have you seen, like, anything like Merchant Scroll? No. Merchant Scroll, for one in the blue, search up your library. It's a tutor for instant sorceries. That card was, like, you know, it's like a $4 card. I have some copies of it, and, like, fucking sweet. It already started to spike before the revealing of what cards were, you know, were printed here, because they didn't think they were going to be reprinted. So it spiked up to, like, 10. It is now, like, up to $30 because it wasn't reprinted. And the card doesn't see play anywhere either.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's not, like,
it's like, sell. Give them to me right now so I can sell them for you, Jesus.
What's his name? Fucking road deck builder, MTGO Goldfish.
Yeah.
He had, like, a ranting video of, like, the anger level that he has. Like, this is bullshit. Like, this card is spiked to $30 and it doesn't see play. It was a $4 card. It doesn't, it sees, like, two of it in one deck, and it should see more play. Sure, it's a good card, but it's insane that people are, like, this over the top about things with the finance shit. Like, this is just, we're trying to play this game and have fun with it. You can't tell me the majority of Magic players are in the finance section.
Yeah, a lot of people in the finance section just have pedestals to fucking bitch on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they do.
Yeah, even though I actually, like, have a decent amount of respect for some of those guys. Like,
yeah,
I'm not
too.
A hater on, like, James Chilcott and all that kind of shit, like,
me
that,
either.
You know, or I think, like,
I mean, he pronounces shit the wrong way and it bothers the fuck out of me, but other than
I'm not going to play his game, but, like, I respect that he plays the game, and I think that it's fine to hear his opinion. I'm down to hear his opinion about some shit and just make my own interpretation of what he would say, or the guy from Alpha Investments or whoever else there is, you know, Brainstorm Brewery guys. Like,
but
it's fine just,
like,
to hear that and just go ahead and take it to what you will, but don't necessarily think that it's fucking gospel and shit like that and think that you're going to make a bunch of money and think that they're even correct for making the adjusting prices. You know, like a lot of those guys, they can, in a small ways, do that kind of shit where they can turn a $4 card into $30.
Well, you know, that's more a different subset of.
He wasn't saying like he collect had those and was trying to do that.
No, not those guys, but guys like that are in the financial like, game that are not outspoken like them, not in the eye.
Well, there
but
are
some of those motherfuckers buy it 500 cards.
There are outspoken guys like that, and they say like, "Yeah, I just bought up all the copies of this card that are under $7," and it's like, and then that artificially made it spike up in price. And it's like, okay, you know, fuck you, whatever. You're not a player.
Yeah,
like,
I'd rather not do that. I'd rather buy.
Like James Chillicott's one of the ones I follow too, because I feel like he's one of the ones who is in that finance game but doesn't bitch when he fucking fails on something. Like he they announced Abrupt Decay and I think Voice.
Yeah, and he had all those.
He took a picture.
He had 45
like,
copies
well,
or whatever.
This is unfortunate, and it had like, you know, 25 copies of Voice and or 25 copies of Abrupt Decay and 50 copies of Voice or something, whatever large numbers. He's like, well, this that on this one, and that was it. It wasn't like, oh my god, I can't believe this. Wizards just fucking my life over.
He didn't write a fucking 4,000 character article about why Wizards is fucking everybody up and fucking everything up.
Yeah, so basically, fuck most of the people in the MTG finance community. There's a couple of them which are all right, and I'm in it to be a player. And like
play on.
Still haven't got my box fucking rejected.
Whoop whoop.
Your box?
The box booster box that I've been worrying about because I bought it like low, and so when the prices spiked to MSRP, I'm like, don't you fucking dare. But it hasn't, so I think we're all good. Nice. And the prices have come back down. They went to 240 MSRP and now they're back up, I think about 215, 220 right now. So if you're listening to this and it's before, you know, the set releases, if your LGS is 240, you can get them online for cheaper. So
yeah.
What's that now?
MSRP is you're describing MSRP incorrectly.
Okay, go on.
MSRP is manufacturer's suggested
retail price. Yeah, what about
but that doesn't fluctuate.
What did I say?
You described it as the MSRP went up and the MSRP went down.
Oh,
like
that's
incorrect.
Then I didn't mean to say that. I meant that
that's
it went
all,
up to MSRP and then now if you it's came down to 220. I didn't mean the MSRP. My bad. I'm saying the price of the box on TCG Player is at 220 now.
I just want to say to kind of break the fourth wall that you need to set your tablet like
I know.
Dim
oh
screen. Was it set to like 10 seconds?
Jesus,
every 10
like,
seconds it goes
thing.
Off. And dude, set it to like a minute.
Just like 5 minutes.
it's really bothering me. And it shouldn't.
I'm gonna set it to 5 seconds.
Keep looking at it too. Now,
that's the end of it.
You just constantly just hit the button. Hit the button.
I think that's more. Thanks a lot for that. I think it's more.
That's what you get.
It's just fucking. I think it's more just like fidgety. I don't think it's. I mean, I know that it's doing
it's
that.
Like with your phone, you're always waving across your phone.
I can still see.
You never took the time, but you're always waving your phone.
Yeah, it's fidgety. So, like, I can still see it when it's dim, too. It's not even like I can't see it. I just do that because I do that.
I know. It just bothers me.
Well, that's too bad. Annoying. That's too bad.
Anyways, the only MTG finance thing I do very little paper. I do mostly online, and it's like standard stuff. So when a set first comes out, obviously there's the clear, powerful cards, and then I go look down the mythics or rares and look for some shit that's like a penny or like 10 cents, and I'll just stock up on that. You know, so what, I put in like $2, $3, $4, $5, you know, and then if it pays off, then I make like fucking 20 or 30 fucking tickets, and then I get to do that little dance and buy some more decks that I want or, you know, whatever. So it's not the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. It's simple. It's quick. It doesn't have, like, fees attached to it for shipping. And
you don't have to wait
buy
to send
lists
it
and crap like that. Yeah, it's smoother. I mean, I'm not on TCG Player to play a huge game and,
MTG.
Like, and make... What's that?
Oh, my bad. I thought you were trying to describe
my I'm not on the storefront to like make a bunch of money and like spec out on crazy shit. It's actually more just to get around like the buy list and make more money off stuff like that, you know what I mean? And also make it where like I can sell on my terms where me and Knife were talking about it before. We all talked about it, but Puka Trade is an amazing service in theory, and it'd be amazing if you can just make it happen right away and just get the card, but you just sit and wait. So when a card fluctuates in price, then the more, you know, you can't do anything about that. And so you just have to sit there and wait. And you might get the card sent out when it's way too, you know, it's overpriced. And then so you got fucked. And so anyways, I think that I do it just because the weekend of like a set release or a pro tour or whatever, it's easy for me to, you know, abuse the system a little bit and see the prices spike and get out on Scrap Heap Scrounger for, right, you know, $2 more than it will be on Monday. So I use it more for that and just for, I mean, I'll say this. That money that I make off it doesn't go in my pocket. I just put it back into it again.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, I do it like more the MTGO way, just by paying shipping fees and shit like that. You know what I mean? So
yeah. And I just want to say, fuck Puka Trade. I'm so fucking over it.
It sucks though because it was a good idea.
And it could have been so good. Apparently, there's some guys.
I personally got lucky and I got the things I wanted to get out of it. I got my Liliana. I got my other good things out of there and had managed to get out just before the bubble completely burst. Where now you've been sitting here for so long on shit.
Yeah. Well, you have like $100 on there, right? Or more? 150?
I had about like 120 or something like that. And then a couple listeners sent me some things. And then when the fetches got spoiled, I put up on Twitter, I said, because the only way to get shit done on Puka Trade is to put bounties on your shit, which you're paying extra. And then also now I find out that the only way you're going to get shit is if you go into this Discord. Apparently that's like a chat program, yeah, or something. You
go in there. Up for it, by the way. If Lance Could Kill has an account, okay, there.
And then you have to go and like talk with people, but they only send you shit if you send shit back. And it's like, jeez, it's just this big old deal. So what I did when the fetches were spoiled, because you can only put bounties on stuff if you're like
a gold member.
Yeah, gold member or whatever. I'm like on the free shit, you know. So I did my own version of bounty. It's like when the fetches got spoiled, I posted on Twitter, hey, do you want to get out of your cards before they plummet completely? Send me your shit on Puka Trade. And so somebody sent me a Marsh Flats for like...
Yeah, James Chilka actually retweeted your
thing. Yeah, I totally appreciate that because some guy sent me a Marsh Flats for $38, and that's basically getting it for was it the bonus?
Yeah, the bounty fees.
Yeah, the bounty. So without having to actually pay for a membership to put a bounty on it, because obviously that's going to go way down in price. But I just want to get the fuck out of there as soon as possible.
Yeah, I agree. That it's no good to you anymore, and you're not going to be able to trade Puka points for like dollars. What are you going to get, like 30 cents on the dollar or something like that for fucking Puka points? Even if there's a way to do it.
I'm trying to get out through MTGO tickets. That'd be awesome, but like, I can't fucking get out where shit. I still have like $40 or $50 on there, and yeah. So
I got a Bob and a Lily out of there. And
at least you're not. Things, but like, you could be $800 in deep in that. You know, there's gonna be a time
there are
where
people who are like, and there, I've seen like trades go where they've gotten like, you know, alpha duels, and there's been some crazy things and powers traded on there.
But
there's,
not anymore.
There's people, yeah. There's people on there who have like, you know, $1,500 with the Puka points. They're going to sit there forever now.
Apparently, like, there's a new service. It's made by a couple guys who have been disappointed in Puka Trade, and they think they can do it better. I think it's called Card Sphere. Okay. Check them out. I forget exactly. They were on.
Don't spend too much money into the system, though. Just take it easy.
Yeah. Knife. Yeah. Just check them out. But they on the Fast Finance, they had an interview with the guys. And the interview actually didn't go too well. It didn't really sound like they were ready for the interview. But anyways, they're just trying to do it a little bit better than Puka Trade.
Puka could have been great, so I'm down to check that out.
Could have been great, man. I mean, could have been great.
I'm definitely not going to buy into it, knowing that it's just beginning, but I'd check it out.
I mean, I'd much rather not pay the TCG player fees and just general shipping fees on new cards. You know, I'm losing. If I was to buy a card at $5 and then sell that card for $5 the same day just for an experiment or whatever, you know, I would lose a dollar. I would lose 20% after buying theirs and after shipping mine. So, like, that's if I wanted to just, you know, literally use what I'm doing to go and put back into the market, I'm cutting myself off 20%. So Puka Trade should make up for that. They should just be the price of a stamp, basically, in an envelope for you to send out your stuff, and that's it. So now, instead of losing 20%, I'm losing, you know, let's say at 5% or less.
Right.
And that would be amazing to go ahead and move cards around that way, but of course it's not. It didn't work out.
Apparently on Cardsphere, don't quote me, but like, you can, if you have just points laying around, you can get out for cash, but there's a like transaction fee.
Yeah, well, if it's, that's fine.
So, but, I mean, Puka doesn't even fucking have that. I'd fucking get out for fucking $15 at this point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just get me out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's worth checking out. Not that we're endorsing it, but it's definitely cool that people are trying to make Puka great again. anyways, is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
I think I'm going to keep my my new EDH deck for next cast.
Yeah, I was going to talk about... I don't think I've talked about my Humans Frontier deck, but probably save that for next time as well.
Zergo's my new leader.
Zergo is the new leader.
It's pretty cool.
I've seen better.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's it for episode... What episode
104.
Is this? 104 of If Lands Could Kill. All our shit is in the show notes, so if you want to follow us on Twitter, that's the best place to get in contact with us. We also have an email address. Our website is up to date, thanks to the prettiest of the... In a while, you will catch us on Twitch. And make sure to check out PookaTrade.com/KnifeCity or fucking something like that. Please help me get out.
And Facebook.
Help me get out.
Yeah, and look for ILCK Hot Sauce on TCG Player. When you're looking for cards, and then buy it for me.
He'll totally rub his dick on them.
I will.
And send me free cards.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah, keep sending us free shit. That's fucking awesome. or if you want to be like Runefister, just send us some crap cards with some amazing shit written on them.
That was great, too.
That was great.
They're like the wave of dicks.
Yes.
Was that? You know,
the wall of dicks.
Yeah, the wall of dicks. That was fucking great. In my binder, I had the Charging Badger right
there. You also got the 100. The episode 100 Charging Badgers was pretty sweet, too.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, exactly. My promo. I have like a little promo part of my binder, and I just have all that shit. The Chuck Norris and all the other crap from like the fans whatever else.
You don't even have to send us cards that are worth anything. They're still fucking great.
Just make sure there's like dicks or something funny drawn on them.
Anyways, thanks for listening, guys. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
And Hot Sauce.
And we'll catch you guys on the flip side. I probably told you this story, but you forgot. It was like right when I first got clean. Me and my buddy, basically we go to his truck after a meeting. It's like in the middle of the day, and there's like this big, like, what's the, you know, the things you make like projects on and like school, you know, those big pieces of paper.
Okay, bulletin board, project board.
Something like that. Anyways, there's this big blown up picture.
Yeah.
Of this like grandma.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
I remember that picture you sent it to me. And you're like, yeah, but how do you know it's not? How do you know it's my dick? And I'm like, because I know it's your dick. Don't ask me that. I know it's your fucking dick. You're like, you don't know it's my dick. I'm like, I know it's your dick. You didn't even say that.
The other one looked weird. But
I think I missed the beginning of this. There's a picture of a grandma on a billboard.
No, it's like a poster board. Some kid was like after
it's
school.
It's like a
full
size poster board thing. Like kind of like I would figure it's more along the lines of like, you know, like when you go to a movie theater, it's like a full size poster board.
Okay.
Cardboard cutout of a
And then
grandma.
So like for some reason, like it was in the back of my buddy's truck and we just imagined like some kid like had done like a school project and on the way home he's like, well, fuck this, I don't want this anymore, and just like threw it in the back of his truck. It was like super random. And I was like, well, what like funny thing can we do? Like we thought about like maybe we can just like pay it forward and put it in the back of somebody else's random truck one day, and you know. And then I was like, what would be funnier is if we cut a hole where her mouth is and we took pictures of putting our penises through it. So it looks like they're just cock coming out of grandma's mouth. And so
they did.
That's what we did.
So just like her face and like blow her nose and just like dick come out. Like she's like dick boogers. Big old dick booger.
Yeah. We didn't take a picture of each other's penises. We had some chick do it for us. But I mean, I totally saw his penis, so. And you know, okay, you know how some dicks, like, you know, when you're circumcised or whatever, there's that, like, it's dark and then it's, like, light?
Right.
You know, and it was, like, super apparent. Like, it was,
there's
like,
a line.
It was, like, dark and then just, like, pasty white. And I was like, whoa, dude, you got a weird dick. Fucking two-tone over here.
That's what they call him. Tommy Two-Tone.
No,
his name Tommy?
Good. That'd be good.
Tommy Two-Tone?
I wish. I just thought of it right
his
now.
Name?
I don't even.
Two-Tone.
Fuck, I don't forget his name. Oh, stupid face.
Jimmy Tim Two-Tone. Something like that, right? As long as it's two fucking.
And then, so, anyways, we started sending those pictures around and, like, throughout the whole, like, NA community, like, people just start texting those pictures all around. So, like, it was notorious for a while with the grandma penis coming out of her mouth.
Great.
Grandma likes sausage. What can I say?